about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Congratulations, universe. You win.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Another half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
And when Usher walked down and touched that casket, what can you say?
Yeah.
When Larry King died, they didn't just cancel the show. They got Pierce Morgan to come in and do his show. And that way, Larry lives on.
Thanks, Anderson.
You are unbelievable.
I'm unbelievable. What about your racist mess? Think the grown man is illiterate.
That's the subtle racism of lowered expectations. Bing Crosby said that.
No, Bill Cosby said that.
That's racist.
And now.
You want some pudding?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Wednesday morning. What's happening?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What are you doing?
Just standing here waiting for you to talk.
Sure.
Pretty much.
You look good. Lisa
Thank
looks
you.
Good.
What do you think she's doing?
Lisa, you got a little sun over the vacation a little bit?
I got a lot of sun.
Where'd you go?
I went to Palm Springs for a couple of days, and
That'll
then I went to Cabo
That'll
for a
it.
Week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was impossible not to get sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Mexico, by the way, that's where we start today. Great story. Remember when? Remember after Coachella this year, when Beer Mug made up that fantastical story about somebody getting smuggled in backstage in a suitcase? Remember that when he came
up?
Vetted that out of whole cloth?
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, a bunch of witnesses arrived, and then there was video. But let's just stick with the story that he made it up. Well, that's what I thought of when I saw this story out of a jail in Mexico. And this broke just yesterday, I guess. Quintana Roo, I guess, is the state in Mexico. It's on the coast, on the Caribbean side. And they have conjugal visits there in the prison, like they do many places around the world. And 19-year-old Maria Del Mar Arjona showed up for the conjugal visit. Her boyfriend is doing time there. By the way, what's this deal? This guy needed the Casey Anthony lawyers. He's doing 20 years in prison for illegal weapons possession.
Wow.
20 years for illegal weapons. What's that guy's deal?
My God.
But at least he's got a hot girlfriend, so she shows up for the conjugal visits. And then when she goes to leave, you know, she takes a suitcase in with her, which I guess, I don't know whether it has sex toys or a change of clothing or whatever the deal is. But she tries to smuggle her boyfriend out of prison in the suitcase that she showed up with. Now, she's 19, and he's a grown-ass man. So she's trying to push this suitcase out, and obviously it's way too heavy for her to navigate.
It's probably almost 200 pounds. She could almost not move it, I imagine.
Yes, it's bulging from every single angle. She's sweating. She's nervous. I mean, she did everything but put a neon sign up that said, "Hey, look at me. I'm trying to jailbreak here." So naturally, she was discovered. They didn't just let her cruise on by to get out of the prison with her boyfriend.
Funny. Can I get somebody to help me carry this? Yeah, sure. No
problem. But the jailers must have had a good time with it. I mean, they took photos of the guy. You can actually see pictures of the guy curled up in the fetal position in this suitcase trying to get out of jail. And we haven't heard yet. They arrested her, of course.
Sure.
For, you know, attempted jailbreak. But we haven't heard what's going to happen to her, whether she's going to end up in her own prison. And then have no one to give conjugal visits to because her boyfriend's still in jail. Now they're probably going to add time onto his sentence for trying to escape, too.
Wow, that's incredibly stupid on both of their parts.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Even on his part, because he's going to get probably more jail time. And
right.
When she says, "Hey, get in my suitcase," he should say, "No, that's stupid." Or when he says, "Hey, put me in your suitcase," she should say, "No, that's stupid."
Right.
Wow.
Get in my suitcase only works if it's a euphemism. If
they've
got something planned for that night. But, yeah.
That's the worst jailbreak story ever.
It was not effective.
Or lamest, I should say, yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
You're crippled by mental illness. Your compulsions have estranged you from your own feelings.
Yeah, all that's true. The Casey Anthony verdict came down yesterday. I don't know if you've been following this story at all.
Oh, yeah.
But while I was on vacation, I watched a lot of it because, my wife was into it. And once somebody in the family gets into it, it's on the TV, first you walk by, and you don't think anything of it. And then you stop for 30 seconds, and you go, "What's this?" And then she explains it to you. And then, you know, the next day you stop for 5 minutes, and then you sit down on the couch, and then it's all day. And then you just go, "I give
this
up."
Is, This is how Ralph got sucked into The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, remember? He's just walking by, and the next thing you know, he's making mimosas for the girls and parked in front of the TV every Monday night.
And the first thing for me was Dr. Drew, who was covering it every single night. Mm-hmm. So we'd watch Dr. Drew, and I'd say, oh, this is fascinating. This is weird. And then you watch the family and go, wow, this is one screwed up family.
Yeah.
Everyone in the family.
It was quite a soap opera.
So it was quite a soap opera, and the trial went on for, I don't know, 31 days or something like that, and everybody expected her to get... They were trying to get murder one with the death penalty.
Which may have been their fatal mistake.
Yeah, and they said, the jury said, not so much that as not guilty.
Yeah, they couldn't even get manslaughter.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get aggravated assault.
Yeah,
they got nothing.
They didn't buy any of it. So it's possible tomorrow morning when the judge sentences her, for I guess she got convicted on lying to the police, that it's possible she's going to walk.
Yeah.
Yes, it's possible she's already done enough time that they'll just let her go. Yeah.
Which is...
But then she'll put that blue dress back on and go out and party and make some more sexy photos.
Which
so
is
I'm all right
crazy.
With that. Well, we're going to discuss and get your thoughts coming up in about a half an hour or so. But it was quite... I mean, it was OJ-esque, the outrage yesterday. People were weeping and lighting torches, and they were going out and looking for him. And I'm telling you, and the number one thing I saw yesterday is, where's Dexter? I mean, that's it. She's in Florida. Let's get this going. Let's make this
happen.
That's
true. You get the idea. All right, listen, this didn't work this time. I know the whole jury system. This is the best there is in the world. I get it. Okay. Doesn't always work.
Right.
You can have a batter in the major leagues that bats 400. You know what he doesn't bat? 600. 600% of 60% of the time, he screws up. So, anyway, Casey Anthony verdict. We also have tickets for our Breakfast with Incubus. We're going to be playing a little game called Mumford the Hits.
Oh, I love Mumford the Hits.
Hope you enjoy that.
I love that so much.
We're going to talk to the Commercial Kings. I don't know if you've seen this. It's a new series that's on, and it's guys that go around little town America and help make commercials for some of these tiny businesses that don't know how to do it or where to start or whatever. And they try and help them out, sort of.
They're very funny. They're
very funny.
They sort of try to help them out. They make the commercial.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, the client doesn't like it, but that's why it's funny.
They make the worst, best commercials out there.
Yes,
exactly. Or the best, worst commercials out there, depending on how you want to look at it.
Would you like to take that back on today's program?
Excellent.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't, by the way. You never do. I think Bean's about 200 on taking stuff back.
How dare you. Lisa, what is your impression of how often I take it back? I think I'm about 50-50.
That's what I was going to say.
Wow.
That is what I was going to say.
I'm going to start keeping track.
All right.
Statistics are everything, people. Matt Money Smith talking about sports on the program today. And Adam Carolla. With This Week in Rage. So that's coming up as well.
That was more Adam on the toilet. Sorry.
It was, yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz. Be next.
I know we are just getting started with today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, but looking ahead toward Friday, it is looking like Rage Against the Machine will be in here. How about that? Talking about the LA Rising concert coming up at the end of the month.
That's what I'm talking about.
If only Kevin liked Rage Against the Machine.
I know. It's going to be weird. It's going to be hard to get him up for that interview.
Yes.
So if you like Rage, you want to hear them, it'll be Friday on the Kevin and Bean show. Of course, we'll have tickets to give away for you to see the show as well. Right now, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Now that the Casey Anthony trial is over, can we finally bring charges against Nancy Grace?
Oh,
can we file some felony charges of douchebaggery against this
bitch's
pie hole?
I have never been more on board with anything in my life than that.
She is hideous.
Someone said yesterday that the good news is there'll be a new Casey Anthony trial because Nancy Grace is going to kill her.
Oh, she's horrible.
Then let's put Nancy on trial.
Right.
She has done the viewing public an enormous disservice when it comes to this trial. I think 90% of the outrage that people feel is because of her saber rattling and just the total soap opera she created on her show.
What channel is she on?
Headline News.
Okay. Yeah.
Boy, has she just been a relentless gas bag.
She kind of has, and I understand people second-guessing a jury. People do that all the time. But, I mean, no one has ever tried a case in the media more than Nancy Grace has. No one.
She's remarkable.
She never even would accept the possibility that she was wrong or that there might be reasonable doubt. I mean, she would have gone down to the jail with a torch and killed Casey Anthony personally if she could have.
And she used to be a lawyer.
She did?
Right. Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. There are very few people. You can tune into that show, and I know most of you probably don't come across Headline News except for Dr. Drew's show. I know I don't watch that program ever, but you see her, and within 10 seconds, you feel all of the hate that Ralph just mentioned. Yeah. You really she does not take long.
She really is aggressively obnoxious.
She is so hateable.
She turned this kid's death into this ratings-grabbing, look-at-me power play that I just found really sort of disgusting. Even by the standards of tabloid journalism and cable news douchebaggery.
Even by her own standards, yeah, she stepped it up.
Whew. I'm just glad that she doesn't have that to talk about anymore. She said yesterday, by the way, that not only is the not guilty verdict not the truth, she said that Kaylee, the 2-year-old victim in this crime, her death has gone unavenged, and that the devil is dancing today.
Yeah!
Oh, she said that? The devil is dancing.
She used those words?
She said that.
Is he a good dancer?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the devil's work.
Somewhere out there, the devil is dancing tonight.
There you go. The devil is dancing.
Did you tell him you needed that clip?
I did not, sir. Bean just had that at the ready.
Wow.
At his fingertips.
What is happening right now?
Bean's a professional.
Look it up.
Look it up.
He had that standing by, not knowing you were going to say it.
That's right.
All right.
Devil is dancing. Apparently down in Georgia. He's looking for a soul to
save. Is that right?
That's what I understand, yes.
Don't make us put you in the fire. We're doing that today.
Put Nancy in the fire. Dean Alarm! In the music, in the news today, apparently she wants desperately to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Really? What a surprise.
She was overheard talking at her daughter Lindsay's 25th birthday party this past weekend that she is in talks with producers to compete on the popular dancing competition reality show, and she is super excited.
I think they'd take her. She's the type of person
my
that
fear
enough
is
people,
they would
yeah enough people hate her that they would tune in to, you know, to mock and whatnot, like with Bristol Palin.
But think of the relief for Michael Catherwood knowing that he is not the least celebrity ever to appear on that show anymore once Dean Lohan gets on.
But don't you think the guys at Dancing with the Stars are like, let's book some other people first? If we can't,
we'll put
Dina.
Her on the list, but she's way down on the list,
just as a backup.
Yeah. Captain America. Oh, I can't wait for Captain America.
That does look good.
Oh, I can't wait for Captain America.
Really? This doesn't seem like the kind of movie you would be into.
Oh, I can't wait for Captain America.
Oh, wait.
It is the premiere, by the way, is the 19th of July, I believe.
Okay.
And I'm not saying anything, but I may have some tickets for that coming up sometime soon.
So yourself or for other people?
For the fine Kevin and Bean listeners.
Okay, exactly.
It debuts the weekend we're down at Comic-Con.
Ooh.
So I'm going to have to try to see it before I get down there in San Diego.
No, they have plenty of tickets down there in San Diego, those theaters.
Can you imagine?
That weekend.
It would be the most sold out anything has ever been. Captain America opening up in San Diego during the Comic-Con.
Selling standing only tickets in the back.
Well, the interesting news is that the movie will be entitled The First Avenger in several countries when it's distributed internationally, because some of them don't particularly like the U.S. of A. So they don't want to open a movie called Captain America, let's say, in the Ukraine or South Korea or Russia, because they fear people may not go in support of the American part of Captain America.
Well, if anyone knows what it's about, they know it's all USA, USA. They're not going to go anyway, right?
Right, but I'm guessing they're hoping to collect money from people who also don't know what it's about and hope they see just the first Avenger. They'll think it's just an action movie and go see that.
Wait, everyone doesn't love us?
Apparently not everyone loves us.
What?
No. So, for all our South Korean listeners...
Was this in the news?
South Korean listeners, the first Avenger will be what you're looking for this summer. So there's a Captain America. Well, maybe we just send Captain America over to those countries that don't
That's
like
right.
us.
That's
kick
right.
some American ass! No, wait a minute.
Have kick some foreign ass.
Yeah! Leave the American ones alone! Except for Nancy Grace's. Kick her ass, Captain America.
Maybe stick a boot somewhere, too, right?
That's right. And more casting news... It looks like the lovely and talented Elizabeth Hurley is working again.
Ooh.
She's joining the cast of Gossip Girl.
Oh.
I know it's an odd fit. She's a little,
that is an odd fit.
A little old to be in a high school drama, but...
Is she playing Blake Lively's grandma?
I don't know what role she's playing, but she will, according to TV Line, be a sexy, smart, and self-made media mogul.
All right.
For a multi-episode arc on that show. So Dave the King of Mexico is very happy.
Somewhere out there, the devil is dancing tonight.
Devil is dancing tonight.
I wonder what song he's dancing to.
Oh.
Something by Mumford.
Sure.
That's the devil's music.
For some reason, he just strikes me as like a disco guy. He's
probably really?
Yeah.
The devil's a disco guy?
I think so. If he's dancing, he's probably disco dancing, I'm guessing.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe More Than a Feeling by Tavares. That wasn't them at all. More Than a Woman by Tavares.
Yeah. Well, like anyone knows the difference.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ned Beatty is 74 years old today. Real talented guy. I don't see him much working anymore, but I like him a lot. Sylvester Stallone is 65 years old today, as is former U.S. President George W. Bush. Stallone and Bush.
Wow.
Born on the same day, the same year.
That's a lot of USA, USA right there, by the way.
Sure is. Actor Jeffrey Rush is 60. 50 Cent celebrates his 35th birthday today. The Maori twins, Tia and Tamara, from Sister Sister, are 33. Lakers forward Pau Gasol celebrates his 31st birthday. And Robin, the boy wonder from TV's Batman, Burt Ward, celebrates his 66th birthday today. At what point can you no longer be the boy wonder?
Yeah, no kidding.
When you're 66?
He's the old man wonder.
He's the old man wonder. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give you a chance to join us for our super secret breakfast with Incubus coming up later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we can tell you that it will be Wednesday. It will be Wednesday, right? It will be next Wednesday. It is at a super secret location. But if you love Incubus, and we heard from quite a few of you that do, stick around. We'll give you a chance to get in coming up. Here's the important thing about the Casey Anthony verdict, and I know if you've followed the trial, you've probably heard enough about it because it's all that anyone was talking about yesterday in real life and on television. But I can't decide if she's hot or not. Now, sometimes
Wait, that's
when you
see important part.
Sometimes when you see her in court, and of course she's not at her best, she doesn't have makeup on, she's crying a lot, so it's kind of hard to see. But then when you see the pictures, you know, the party photos, when you see her out in the hot body contest and stuff like that and whooping it up at the clubs and everything during that month when her daughter was quote-unquote missing, then you go, wow, she looks pretty hot. What do you guys think?
It's hard for me to judge whether she's hot or not in photos that were taken after her kid was born. Killed.
Killed, right, exactly.
So
that's the most troubling thing about this whole thing to me, is those women are so difficult sometimes when you can't tell whether they're hot enough. But moving on to the verdict, here's a brief recap of what happened that shocked the world in a courtroom in Florida yesterday afternoon.
Casey Anthony cleared in her daughter's death. The woman who was presumed guilty of murdering her child in the months of media speculation was acquitted of all but the least serious charges against her. During the dramatic moments when the verdict was read, all eyes were on Casey Anthony as she stood in the courtroom awaiting her fate.
We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
After the verdict was read aloud, Casey Anthony collapsed into her attorney's arms, sobbing. The 25-year-old was acquitted on the most serious charges. Relieved defense attorney Jose Baez said, while there were no winners, justice had been served.
Casey did not murder Kaylee. It's that simple. And today, our system of justice has not dishonored her memory by a false conviction.
Now, there are an awful lot of people who say, look, I followed this trial pretty closely, and it was obvious to me that she did it. And Kevin and I talked about this yesterday off the air, and I think we both think that she did it, right?
I'm convinced she did it, yes.
Yeah. I am, too. I'm convinced she did it. But having said that, and it's terrible if somebody can commit a murder and get away with it, having said that, I don't know that the prosecution proved it either, and I don't know that if I had been on that jury with those instructions and I did not have an eyewitness and I did not have a confession and I did not have convincing enough DNA testimony and the prosecution couldn't even tell me how the kid was killed, I don't know that I would have been able to come back with a guilty verdict based on the instructions, which is you're supposed to draw a conclusion on the facts in the case.
Yeah, those of you that didn't follow the case, her kid was missing for 31 days before her parents, not the little kid's parents, before the mom's parents called 911. 31 days.
Yeah.
Right.
And she said, oh, it was just the nanny kidnapped her.
That's right. It. She made up a nanny, and then she made up a boyfriend, and then she made up a camp, and she had a different story all the time. So clearly she was lying through her teeth, and clearly she was hiding something. And then the defense mounted this whole story. Who knows how wild make-believe it is, that she had been traumatized and sexually abused as a kid and just panicked because the kid drowned in the pool, and on and on and on. And all they had to do was just keep throwing all these possible theories out there. And eventually they came up with enough of them that everyone on the jury thought, well, maybe that's what happened instead of what the prosecution said, because the prosecution didn't have that much to hang their hats on.
It's possible that they didn't prove it. I can buy that because I did watch a certain amount of it while I was on vacation. But I will tell you this, the leap from they couldn't prove the charges in court to this is an innocent person that I'm glad wasn't convicted, like that lawyer said, is a giant leap. It doesn't mean she didn't kill her daughter.
By the way, they're not the same thing. Not guilty is not the same as innocent. You can still have committed the crime and be found legally not guilty.
A lot of people thought they should have gone for something a little less than first degree with the death penalty possibilities because a lot of people in the jury were very reluctant to make that decision. So
just based on the evidence they had.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. Well, we have a poll up at KevinandBean.com, by the way, if you want to go and pretend that you're on the jury. And here's where we're at so far. These are the percentages of the choices. And by the way, you can call us right now, too, if you have thoughts about this. I know a lot of people do after watching the verdict yesterday. If you want to call us and get on the air, it's 1-800-520-1067. But on the felony charges, you have the choice of what the jury had the choice of. And here's how it breaks down on the site right now. KevinandBean.com. Guilty murder one, which is what the prosecution was hoping for, 60% say so far, coming to KevinandBean.com, that's how they would have voted.
Premeditated. She planned it out ahead of time. She created everything so that she could then murder her daughter. That's what that is.
And by the way, the prosecution will argue, hey, we showed premeditation. You saw the internet searches for chloroform and for breaking necks and for hiding bodies. And just
By the way, there were all of.
All of.
On her computer.
Right, exactly.
It's unbelievable.
So that's 60%.
How to kill my daughter, Kaylee. She might as well have just put that in.
She might as well have put up a video.
Come on. No one's ever been. Well, OJ was more guilty. But other than that, she was the most guilty person I've ever seen.
Guilty with manslaughter, Kevin and Bean listeners, so far at KevinandBean.com, say 20% would have voted for that. Meaning didn't mean to kill her, but killed her anyway, so I have to take responsibility for it. Guilty with aggravated assault, which is the jury's way out of saying, yeah, I think she had something to do with that kid's death, but she didn't mean to. That's your option there. That's also 20%. So far on our poll, not guilty, 0%. Yeah. And then the fifth and final option on the poll, free OJ, that's at 0%.
All right.
And I don't know why people haven't jumped to that. Again, we're going to take your phone calls if you want to weigh in on this at 1-800-520-1067. The other important thing on the case, though, and producer Alex weighs in on this, and this is I think I'm accepting this, is that Casey Anthony is North Florida hot, white trash hot.
Could be.
But otherwise beat.
It's okay. Well, wait, I'm confused now. Are we talking about whether she's hot or whether she killed her own 2-year-old daughter?
We're doing both.
Both.
I'm willing to look past that if she's hot enough.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
She's not that hot.
If you're wondering what Kim Kardashian had to say about the trial, Kevin, because I know you love it when celebrities that have nothing to do with the case are asked their opinions.
That's my favorite
thing
when they ask TV stars or movie stars or whatever what they think of current events.
Yeah, well, they know.
Because their opinion is more important than mine. Why?
Kim Kardashian says, what? Casey Anthony not guilty? I'm speechless. Mandy Moore weighed in via her Twitter account yesterday.
Excellent. That's what I need to figure out.
Well, she is from Orlando, so she has an insight into this case, Kevin. I'm from Orlando, and I've been hooked on the trial the last few weeks. The defense team was abysmal. This is shocking. That's what she said.
By the way, the defense team was horrible. They were embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they got to gloat and do their victory lap afterward was pretty rough.
Well, while they're drinking champagne, don't forget the devil is dancing tonight,
that's true.
Too, by the way. In case you're wondering what anyone from the Wonder Years had to say
about
this.
Yes, please.
Fred Savage weighed in yesterday. It's a great day for people who kill their children.
Well, he was a kid once.
He was a kid once. So. That's true. But so were you.
Yeah.
And finally, Rainn Wilson, of course, the great Dwight Schrute from The Office, says, dear Florida, thank you for freeing Casey. She's now available for partying and babysitting. So I think you can see he's already looking ahead toward the upside of this case. All right. We'll take your calls. What do you think? 1-800-520-1067 right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm total shocked. I mean, everything that's happened, it's basically like you almost have to film and watch somebody commit a crime and have it on video for something to happen today. You know, it's just disturbing.
I don't know if they're watching the same thing we were. It's just shocking. I don't know. It's just, I don't watch anything like this, but it's the little girl. This is disgusting. Baby, what about her? Would you like to be in a trunk with tape on your mouth? Who else could put that baby in that trunk? She had the car key. Who put that baby in that car?
Those are people outside the courtroom in Orlando yesterday. The lady makes a good point, Kevin. Would you like to be in a trunk? chloroformed with tape over your mouth? No, you wouldn't. Therefore, Casey Anthony must have killed her daughter.
I don't think so. And I also do think Casey Anthony killed her daughter.
You can think about those things.
But the problem is that proving it in court is a different thing.
Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately.
Obviously, they didn't convince these 12 people that she was guilty. Doesn't mean she wasn't. Just means they couldn't prove what they were trying to prove.
You know, I say unfortunately because in this case, I think that she got off with murder. But if I were on trial for something, I would want the prosecution to have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, I think that is a fair standard in a court of law.
I agree. But when they can't do it and then they televise it and a lot of people can watch it.
Yeah.
Everybody else that's not in that court can use common sense. And you can say, look at all the searches that she did. Look at
common sense has no place in the legal system, Kevin. Come on.
It's true. It is true because you can look at all of that and go, no one's killed their kid more than Casey Anthony. I mean, that's really what common sense brings you to if you pay attention to the.
Because everything she did pointed to she killed her kid.
Yes.
Everything. Every move she made pointed to that exact fact.
Yes. But did they prove what they set out to prove, and did they prove it for murder one, which includes the death penalty? Apparently not.
Yeah.
All right, before we go to your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067, let's go back to our post at kevinandbean.com where you can cast the vote as if you were on the jury and find out what celebrities were tweeting yesterday about the verdict. Why go through the time and trouble of a trial and spend all those taxpayer dollars, Kevin, when you can just have Patty Stanger from the Million Dollar Matchmaker? If you can just have her decide who's guilty and who's not.
Are you kidding? They're asking her?
She's been watching the Casey Anthony trial from the beginning. Did the jury lose their mind? She chloroformed her kid. Need I say more? So there you go. Now the case is settled.
Need I say more? No, you need say less.
let's start with Inez. Inez is on line two. And let's ask the important question first, Inez. We don't have much time. But Casey Anthony, hot or not?
Sort of. She was hot, but she's not hot anymore because she spent the last 3 years in jail facing the death penalty.
That'll do it, by the way.
Oh, that puts some miles on her.
She's good as she used to. All right,
what'd you think of the verdict? Did you agree, and were you surprised?
I was surprised, but I did agree with the verdict because I actually think that they didn't really have enough evidence against her, and I agree with you. I think that if you're facing the death penalty, that you should be given that the proof, you know, needs to be on the prosecution.
And
I don't feel that they did that.
A lot of people were saying that the prosecution should have shot lower.
They overcharged, right.
Definitely. Well, she didn't even get anything for disposing of her daughter, which she admitted that she did because she said that she did it. But she wasn't charged with that.
You should go to jail with that. However your kid dies, if you take your kids out into the woods and bury it without calling the police, you should go to jail for a long time just for that. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. So, all right. Thank you, Ines. Thank you.
And where the hell is Dexter when you need him? Let's try April, line three. April.
You know Dexter's not real, right? That's a fictional character.
I thought that was a documentary I've been watching.
It is set in Miami, but all right. April, hi.
Hi, good morning.
What do you think?
I totally agree with the not guilty thing. I mean, you know, everybody's fired up about this because she's a little girl. And, of course, everybody wants justice. I'm a mom of two. It's sick that, you know, a little girl had to die. But the reality is everything they had on her was circumstantial. I mean, as a jury, if anybody's been on a jury, they have to prove it. So if anybody wants to be pissed, they should be pissed at the DA, not at the jury. They did what they were supposed to do.
Do you think she was guilty in real life?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's pretty damn obvious. Everything points that way. But still, I mean, they don't even know for sure how she died.
Yeah, which amazes me.
You know what?
Yeah.
Part of it was that she had been dead for 31 days and decomposing, and so they didn't have a lot.
Longer than that. It took several weeks even after the kid was reported missing until they finally found the body. So, yeah, she was way decomposed at that point. So it was tough to tell anything.
It wasn't like the OJ trial where they had, you know, DNA on him.
Right.
This was totally, what would they do?
But they found chloroform in the trunk of her car, and everybody who saw her car said it smelled like death. What more do you need?
Bean does like that.
Maybe you've got it in your trunk.
Good point.
Hey, don't be sniffing around my trunk, April, all right?
Is that cool?
In fact, let's change the topic right now. Thank you for the call, my dear. All right. We're going to clear the lines on that. Thank you for participating. Again, if you want to cast your vote, you be the jury. Go to kevinandbean.com if you want to vote.
Tomorrow, are we talking to Dr. Drew tomorrow?
Not till next week.
Because he covered it quite in-depth, so we'll try and get a hold of him.
Okay.
All right. Let's clear the lines and use the same telephone number right now, toll-free 1-800-520-1067, and move on to much happier things. Wednesday, we are going to be at a super secret location with a little band called Incubus. Now, they got a brand new album we've heard tracks from that sounds fantastic. It comes out on Tuesday. We want you to be at our breakfast with Incubus. You know, we've been doing these for a long, long time. Huge band, tiny place. They perform live. You get to see them from a few feet away, and you get to help us interview the band, too. What are we looking for this time around, Kevin?
Well, we're looking for people that, I don't know, that's a good question, that can identify Incubus songs as done by Mumford.
Okay.
We're doing Mumford the Hits.
Yeah!
So, Mumford is going to sing the Incubus song, and then you have to tell us what it is at 1-800-520.
It is all happening for Incubus right now. The band is back. They've got so much going on, including a show just announced at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, October 7th. Excuse me. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. They got a brand new album, If Not Now, When, coming out on Tuesday. And Wednesday, we're going to be broadcasting live with the band. It's Breakfast with Incubus. Here's how you can win tickets.
Hey, my friend, if you can guess this song I'm singing, you will win the tickets. It won't be very easy, but if you can guess it, you will win the tickets.
All right.
Guess the song I'm singing if you can, and then we'll give you some more tickets.
Tickets, right. Giving away tickets. Got that.
I didn't understand that last part, Mumford.
Yeah. He's, welcome our friend, Mumford. Okay. Hey, Mumford, we enjoy hearing your music, but we don't really understand any of the words that you're saying. Are you, in fact, actually saying words?
Yep, I have a third one. Thank you, goddamn thing.
All right, so is it a foreign language?
No, it's not a foreign language.
English, okay.
As I understand it, if you're an Incubus fan, all you're going to have to do is identify the song, the Incubus hit song that Mumford is going to be performing for. You just tell us what it is, and you go into the drawing, and then somebody wins tickets to join us at the Super Secret location on Wednesday. So we'll just take an order starting with Lindsay on line one today.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
You ready to Mumford the Hits?
I'm certainly going to try my best.
Good luck to you.
All right, Lindsay, we're only going to, Mumford is only going to be able to sing it for you one time because we've got a lot of calls we're going to try to get through. So all you have to do is listen up, tell us what Incubus song he's doing for you. That's plenty. Thank you, Mumford. Lindsay, what do you think?
Well, being a huge Incubus fan, that was pretty crappy, but I'm going to go ahead and guess and say Adolescent.
Oh!
It was...
You're wrong, bitch!
That was Pardon Me we were looking for this.
In your defense, it didn't sound anything like that.
But Mumford, didn't you go, I mean, you kind of actually said the part of me.
You did say that.
I hate you.
Okay. All right, let's try Rob. Rob's on line three here on the Kevin Amin Show. Rob, welcome to the show. Ready to do Mumford the Hits?
I was ready before I heard that first song.
Well, it's not an easy game, but good luck. Here's Mumford.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the answer. No way.
Wish you were here.
Sorry. That was nice to know you. Nice to know you. Sorry about that. All right.
That was a tough one, Mumph.
Mumph, right, can you ease him up a little?
Hello, I'm about here. It's going for real hard.
Just go a little easier if you don't mind.
I don't want to make it all easy and it's okay.
Let's not engage Mumford. Let's try. You got a real... Okay, thank you.
You want a...
You want a real fan? We got... Ashley.
You won't be winning.
Wow. Now I can understand what you're saying.
That's the sentence of Mumford.
Ashley is a real fan, and she is ready to win. Ashley, good luck to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Really good luck. I mean, good luck. Because no one else has gotten them yet.
Okay,
Someone's having a stroke. Let's get some medical attention. Ashley, what song was Mumford singing for you there?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm going to go with...
Yes?
Nice to Know You.
That was the last one.
All right, we heard you. We heard you, Mumford.
Megalomaniac.
All right, we are into, thank you, Mumford. We are into Sudden Death now. Get it, and you win tickets to the Super Secret Breakfast on Wednesday with the Kevin and Bean Show. Stacia, are you up for the challenge with Mumford the Hits?
Hi, yes, I am.
Have you gotten any of them?
You know, this is very challenging.
So no. Okay, here we go. Here's your song.
Okay, that's fine. That's
wow.
It certainly is a beautiful sound. What do you think?
Good luck.
I think I got this one. Is this Drive?
Yeah!
We heard you. We heard you,
Mumford. Never been happier to have a game
Mumford. Mumford, we heard you.
We heard you. Stacia, I can't impress upon you enough how few people are going to be at this breakfast. I mean, really, it's just going to be us in a bathroom. I mean, it's going to be that tidy. But congratulations. You are there up close and personal with the band asking questions. We'll see you Wednesday, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Congratulations. Nice work on that game.
Congratulations. Now you won the contest and then you have got those tickets. You knew what songs I was singing and you were written. You got those tickets.
Got Money Smith. Nationally celebrated sports maven joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about all things sports. But he's also here in studio now, joining us along with Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, boys.
I just hope some of that talent rubs off on me, man. I sit
please.
Next to Ralph, hoping that some of it just drips over here.
You're too kind. I just hope some of your emaciated weight rubs off on me. I'd like to be as skinny as you are.
Yeah, chase kids, man.
What's happened to you, man?
I just chase
you're
children.
You're a shell
all
of your former self.
I used to be fat.
It's
I mean,
not
that's, kids. That's the
you were never,
you were never
fat.
You just
not,
you used
not
to
since
look
we've
like,
known you.
Yeah,
you
I was chunky.
You used to look less Ethiopian. That's all I know.
You know, I prefer Kenyan. You know, because I've embraced their marathoning spirit.
He that's is a right. marathon runner. Yeah. thin man these days. All right, let's talk about another thin little man, Prince. You know, I love the writers. You know, I love writers on contracts.
Oh, these are the best.
I love the pop stars who believe they are entitled to special treatment because they are who they are. And Prince certainly is one of those. Apparently this past weekend, he set a new standard for diva-dom when he got chauffeured in a stretch limo, an 80-foot stretch limo, excuse me.
80?
Did you say 80 feet? In a stretch limo to travel 80 feet. From his dressing room to the stage.
Nope.
No.
At an event called the Hop Farm Music Festival on Sunday night.
No. That's not possible.
No. It's 80 feet from his dressing room to the stage. He insisted on a chauffeured stretch limousine to travel that distance.
Shame.
I'm thinking the limousine went no more than 4 times the length of its car.
Right.
I mean, that's...
They didn't even turn on the engine. They just took off the parking brake, and they just rolled forward 80 feet, and then he got out of the back.
That's now, the best. Is this how paranoid he is about encountering other humans? Is he wanted that hunk of metal around him so he wouldn't accidentally see anyone?
I have no idea the motivation
Probably,
behind his actions.
That's great.
I do know, though, they were the people there at the Hop Farm Music Festival. We're instructed to have carpenters rebuild the dressing room to Prince's exact specifications 3 different times.
You mean the size of it and everything had to change?
Yes.
For what?
Because it wasn't to his exact specifications. So the carpenters put the room together the way they asked. They went and said, nope, do it again. They went back and did it again. Nope, do it again. 3 times.
Until they made it small enough for him to fit in?
Then it had to be painted purple and had to be stocked with specific matching furniture that they requested.
Wow. But in Prince's defense, this was a place he was going to be living for 20 to 25 years, right, Ralph?
No, it was a one-night appearance at the Hop Farm Music Festival on Sunday night.
He's going to be in the room probably for about an hour.
Yeah.
Someone needs to punch him in the face. Just punch him in the face. A carpenter, a master carpenter, somebody.
I want to beat Nancy Grace to death with Prince.
Oh, you'd be such an American hero.
Two birds with one stone. Friends of Rosie Huntington-Whiteley are concerned...
That she's too hot?
She's just too damn hot.
Yeah.
Her lips are too succulent. That's what their problem is with her. No, they say since she's become a big-time movie star with Transformers 3, she has become a hard partier.
Uh-oh.
And these days, she's consistently showing up at photo shoots, looking like she hasn't slept in days, smelling of booze and cigarettes.
All right.
Yeah,
that's the best news.
I just pitched a tent right now.
That's great.
Wait a minute. She was perfect before.
A supermodel showing up at a photo shoot looking rough and smelling of booze and cigarettes? Unheard of.
Kick ass.
Reportedly, her boyfriend Jason Statham isn't helping any. He's just as much of a partier as she is, say friends, and so they make quite the twosome out of the town.
Fantastic.
Did Mr. Statham have a comment, Ralph?
That's right, Rosie. I have another cigarette and have another drink.
Statham in studio with us.
We should do Statham the hits, maybe. Yeah. Another game easier. We can play. And Elisabetta Canalis, of course, the beautiful Italian TV presenter, and George Clooney have parted ways, and now perhaps we know why. Turns out she did an interview not too long before the breakup, saying that she believed in marriage and would be hard to stay with a man who wouldn't have children or marry her. And George said, okay, let's make that wish come true. And
see ya.
It was her speaking publicly about their relationship that cheesed George off, and he decided to end things. So
bad, bad form, man.
I'm worried about George. He might never have another love in his life.
Yeah,
like that.
It's not very popular with the ladies.
Wait, just got one.
Hard for that guy to find.
I just got another one. Okay. Hey, just got the third. There we go. And you know, we're always talking about Michael Keaton, one of our favorite actors, and how he doesn't work nearly enough anymore. Well, he is working again, at least as a producer for a TV show. Perhaps he will be starring in it as well. HBO has just put a deal together with Michael Keaton to produce a show based on a novel by Carl Iason. Are you familiar with Iason's books? He writes all stuff about Florida. That's what he's known for.
A lot of material there.
Yeah, I've read
mystery novels, but they all take place in Florida, usually around Miami-Dade.
Lisa is our reader.
I've read a lot of them, too.
Well, you remember Striptease, the movie with Demi Moore?
Yes.
That was based on a Carl Iason book.
Okay.
Anyway, this new book is called Skinny Dip, and they're going to make a TV show based on it. It's about an heiress who gets shoved overboard on her yacht by her husband. But since she's a former swimming champ, she's able to swim to safety, and then she decides to plot revenge against her husband and takes it on.
Did he not consider that?
Apparently he thought she was far enough out when they were in the boat that she would be a goner, but she survives and plots revenge against her husband. Apparently it's a very funny, interesting mystery.
Yeah, HBO will screw it up, though. They really mess up everything.
Wait a minute.
What?
They're really good.
What? Huh? Yeah.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Ned Beatty. 74 years old
today. Squeal like a big boy.
Yeah, that's probably where you know him if you know the movie Deliverance and all. You know that Ned's character has a bad run-in with some hillbillies.
Yeah. You do not want to look that up on YouTube.
You don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Rent it. Get the kids together.
And
popcorn
we're
with M&M's.
Ned Beatty movies that you should rent. Rent a movie called Network, too.
Oh.
He is remarkable in that film.
Mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
74 years old today. Burt Ward, TV's boy wonder, Robin, from the TV series Batman. He is 66 years old.
Chloroform Batman.
What is he doing now,
Holy
Ralph?
I know you're
I know you're hanging out with him at Comic-Con.
That's what he's doing. He's hanging out with me at Comic-Con.
But does he have, I mean, like Adam West went on to have many jobs. Is Burt Ward working as well?
Burt has gotten out of show business.
I think he does VOs, doesn't he?
He does do some voiceover work, but primarily, and Bean, this will be a cause that's close to your heart, he runs a Great Dane Rescue. That's what he spends most of his time and money doing. He's got a dog rescue called Gentle Giants, and they specialize in large breed dogs, usually Great Danes. But he takes care of them and finds foster homes for them. And also,
holy stampede!
He's also got a line of dog food that you can buy locally here in Southern California.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Wouldn't expect that. But
he
used
to just slay chicks, right? He was the dude that was really...
He took advantage of his celebrity back in the day. Yeah.
Way to go, Bert.
And in fact, on the TV show, he got into trouble with the network censors and some religious groups because they said Robin's bulge in his tights was a little too large.
Sweet.
For the kids.
Yeah.
What
did they expect him to do?
Well, they had to put up a series of levers and pulleys and like pads and cups and things to try to stop him from protruding as much as he did.
No use, Robin. It's too thick.
See, that was the problem. Sylvester Stallone, 65 years old today, as is U.S. President George W. Bush. He is also 65 years old today. Have you heard about the Miss Me yet?
No.
Facebook page someone's put up for George W. Bush?
No.
Yeah, already they're starting with that because they're saying, see?
Miss me.
George wasn't so bad.
Hey, guys,
now.
Miss me?
Not yet.
Nope.
Jeffrey Rush, very talented actor, turned 60 years old today. And 50 Cent, 50, is 35 today. Happy birthday, 50. We did 35 birthday, 50. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Money Smith from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show joins us in studio as he is wont to do on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
I am great. How are you?
Very good.
I have a question for you. I know we got a lot of ground to cover because, of course, we still don't have a sports guy. But I was watching the coverage on the news last night of the great Gene Simmons, the fire breather from Kiss, who I think we talked to on the show at this time yesterday. And he was throwing out the first pitch at the Dodgers game yesterday.
Yep.
Now, I always used to think that all guys grew up like Kevin did, like I did, like you did, playing Little League Baseball and having the ability to throw a ball over the plate. Why can't celebrities ever throw out a decent first pitch? What's up with that?
I think Gene Simmons started having sex with women when he was 6 years old, so he never got into Little League Baseball. Because let's face it, if we all had that opportunity, we would have done the same
while
thing.
While we were playing Little League, he was in bed. All right.
That's why. He was slaying chicks back then.
Did you see? It was like a slow pitch softball the way he threw this thing. It was embarrassing for a grown man to not be able to at least throw an overhand fastball, right?
That's when you have people around you that say, no, you're not going to do that. I mean, as soon as Barack Obama was elected president, one of the first things on his agenda should have been 2 weeks of straight-up baseball training.
Just practice.
Yeah, practice how to throw a baseball, rid his closet of all the mom jeans. And that way, when he rolled up to one of those bumps, he would be a little bit more respectable than what he currently does. Some people just can't throw. I mean, I know guys, I played soccer with guys that were tremendous athletes, went on to play D1 soccer, could not throw a baseball. You know, I think either you figure out those mechanics, and I would imagine I look as ridiculous throwing a football because I never really did it.
It's
as
not
a kid.
Figuring out the mechanics; it's doing it.
Right?
It's just a certain amount
being
of throwing.
Able, I mean, it's not close. You know, it's not like you're just throwing it 10 feet. I mean, you got to get that thing 60 foot 6 inches. So if you're doing it all the way from the mound, I think there's a little bit of a task there.
All right. Speaking of the Dodgers, we have a lot of ground to cover. We might as well start with baseball since we're there. Mark Cuban no longer interested in purchasing the Dodgers. Too much of a mess. Just didn't want to get involved, right?
Yeah, I think Cuban, I think, is looking for the perfect situation because he doesn't need the Dodgers. I think, there's something about, I think he's a basketball guy first and foremost.
Right.
I mean, he's a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. And I think there's something about owning the Cubs, the ability to deliver a championship to that particular fan base that's been waiting since 1908. I think that intrigued him when he was part of that bidding process. So my guess is it's just not the best opportunity for him to get into baseball.
It's a risk to take over any single sports franchise that has been super successful.
Right.
Like, even though it's a mess now,
I think
everybody will compare it with history, and unless you bring back championships, you fail.
Well, that's the thing about it. Here's the thing about the Dodgers, though, and what separates them from every other franchise here in L.A. You go back, they're talking about the attendance levels this year and how bad it is. And if you watched that game last night, I mean, it looked like there were 5,000 people at that game last night. But they're talking about attendance levels that we have not seen since 1992. And my point to that is they have lost a lot of baseball games in that time. They have not been a dominant franchise. They haven't won the World Series since 88. Just recently they won their first playoff series since 1988. But people still went because people will always go to Dodger Stadium because it's a landmark. It's a treasure. It's an icon of a ballpark. So there is some...
Maybe we should talk in past tense.
There is some...
It used to be, right.
Built-in...
Pre-Brian Stowe,
yeah,
right.
There is some built-in certainty that you are going to be able to make money, and baseball is making money, a tremendous amount of money. All of these franchises in major markets are probably going to be valuated at close to $1 billion in the next decade.
Forbes gave the Dodgers $800 million recently. They
said
they were
worth
$800 million.
And that's the thing about Frank McCourt. And I drew this analogy on our show. I said, I remember when I was in high school, I was dating this girl, and she was like the former girlfriend of a football guy from another high school. And I went to a party, and I was confronted by all these football players, and they said, look, punk, that's fine that you're dating Debbie. That's great. I'm happy for you. But get out of here. Nobody wants you here. All right, you are not wanted here. Get the hell out of here. We're going to beat the hell. And so I said, okay, I recognize my surroundings. Nobody here wants me here.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's what someone needs to explain to Frank McCourt. Hey, Frank, get out. We don't like you. Nobody around here wants you
but
anymore.
Don't you think they got that message?
I don't know. I think he is delusional. I really do, because he still walks the concourse. And listen, you dumbass fans that go to these games and approach Frank McCourt and say you want a photo with him, you are the problem. That's what he cites. Well, I am walking around the concourse and people are coming up to me saying hang strong and they're taking photos with me. No!
He needs to be a pariah, is what you're saying.
Yes, he is a pariah. Well, yeah, we have to treat him as a pariah.
Right.
Yeah, that is an important part of this process to get him out of here.
If we all start taking the cues from our coworkers, then I won't be able to come to work anymore. I mean, at some point, you just need to power through and just show up and do what you want
to
do.
I like to think you got the message, Bean. I like to think you picked up on those signals.
All right. Mad Money Smith is here for the Petros and Money Show. Follow them on Twitter, by the way, at petrosandmoney.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, we want to find out if there'll never be football again, and if the Packers are going to be the champions for life because that was the last season ever played, and if the Mavericks are going to be the basketball champions for life because that game will never be played again. Money will answer both of those questions right after this on the Kevin. Adam Carolla joins us next hour for This Week in Rage here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we got the stars of the IFC channel Commercial Kings. These guys are very funny. Rhett and Link. We'll have details about that at kevinandbean.com, and they'll be joining us in a few minutes, too. Hey, Matt Money Smith just said something very disturbing. He's in studio from the Petros and Money Show at the end of that song about how you think there may not be any basketball, not just at the start of the season later this year, but for the whole season. It may be down.
Yeah, I think there's a real... And this goes back... This is going back to the start of the 2010-2011 season that I started hearing this from people in basketball, that they are adamant about their position and what they want player percentages to be and how much they're asking them to cut. And players just can't get their heads around this sort of compromise, that their salaries are going to be cut some 40%, that there aren't going to be 100% guaranteed contracts, that they're going to have a hard cap. They already have, I think this thing, and I don't want to get too detailed because it can get boring, but they already have kind of a hard cap. The way it works is players get 57%, right, of all the income.
Right.
And anytime they have a contract or something that goes over that 57%, there's an escrow fund that every player has to put a little bit of its money into that gets paid back to the owner. So it stays at 57%. So there's kind of already a hard cap in place. What they want is the exact same thing that cost the NHL an entire season.
Oh, no.
And they dug in and they held strong because this is how it had to be for them moving forward, so they knew they could make money. And that's where the NBA is now.
And that's when they started showing poker on TV, which got better ratings than hockey. And when hockey came back, TV said, no thanks.
You know, we're going to keep going with that poker thing, actually. Enjoy yourself with the Nuge.
The whole season?
I think there's a very real possibility. The only reason, anytime there's been a work stoppage.
I've only been paying like half attention, but I figured football and basketball would both figure out a way
to get
it.
Football's in a different position.
Okay, but basketball, I figured, figure out.
The problem with basketball is you have crappy markets with crappy ownership and bad franchises. And they don't know how to make money, and they don't know how to compete with teams like the Lakers and Jerry Buss. So you have the Charlottes and New Orleans.
Well, let me interrupt you there. What about the idea that was floated a few weeks ago, and I'm sure it's been talked about for years, about folding some of those franchises that don't make money, and that makes the whole league stronger?
Yeah, there is nothing that Dr. Buss would like more. And there have been whispers that he's been a guy behind the scenes that is trying to rally support to buy out 2 to 4 franchises.
Wow.
Yes. And it makes perfect sense.
Because a team like Dallas will never be good, right, Money?
Well, you know what? That was what they said back in the early 90s. But the problem with, you know, Dallas at least is a major market. You have some of these smaller markets. You know, and I've been to these games and I've been to these arenas. In Charlotte, it was a great market when it first started and they had the Hornets. But then it just got sideways on them. They've never recovered. Memphis, they like the Memphis State. It's now the Memphis Tigers. They're not crazy about the Grizzlies. Now, granted, they got a little boost in the playoffs, and we'll see if they can build on that. There are markets that don't deserve franchises, just can't support them.
Is the problem profit sharing?
Yes.
In the NBA.
The
NBA, they have to give these teams that don't make money a certain amount of the proceeds, and they don't think it's fair.
And Dr. Buss would say, we're in L.A. You know, we have this giant deal because of
Or Miami or whoever.
And that's where the owners run into problems, because they want Dr. Buss to share more of that if it is a $5 billion contract that he got from Time Warner with the rest of the league.
What are all these NBA players who aren't getting paid going to do for a season? Imagine how many arrests they're going to
have. How dare you?
Well, they're actually going to go overseas. Kobe and his agent, Rob Pelinka, are trying to start a barnstorming tour that's going to cruise through China. And they're going to play exhibitions, and he wants to get all the big-time dudes, and
like
they will make
an all-star team?
Yep, like an all-star.
Wow.
Kobe and Stoudemire and Chris Paul and LeBron James and all these guys are going to get two or three or four teams and roll through China.
Wow.
And they'll pack arenas, and they'll make a – and that's kind of where people are saying, well, maybe they can sustain a lockout. The only problem is
– those are the bigger players.
That's the thing. The NBA union is one player, one vote. So now you've got the guys that aren't part of a barnstorming tour that can't make their money, that only make, you know, $2.7 million a year only.
Yeah, sure.
That are going to say, I don't care. I'll go from 2.7 to 2.1. That's fine by me. I need to get back to work.
Right.
And,
I need a job.
And
right?
That's what's always happened in the past is they've just collapsed. Finally, the players have said, all right, we'll take your deal.
But you think it'll last a year?
I think it's got a real good shot.
What's the drop dead date on the lockout affecting actual games being missed?
I think real soon. I think if they don't, and it doesn't look like they're going to sit down again until the fall. So I think they've already basically acknowledged, I mean, not publicly, that they're going to miss part of the season.
So they said, let's not even sit down.
They're so far apart. They are so apart.
But sitting down is going to have to happen.
Yeah.
So what sense does it make to say, let's wait till fall?
Because I think the players will say, okay, you really think you'll make more money by not having a season than having a season? Let's see how you feel when you do start missing games and when TV contracts are canceled and you're not getting commercial revenues. Then we'll see if you really feel like losing a season makes a lot of sense.
That sucks.
All right, let's switch gears. Matt Money Smith in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show from the Petros and Money Radio Show. Let's talk NFL now. You said it is different. How come?
Because they're all making money. It's just a question of how much they're making.
But that's the same. Oh,
the NFL owners, they're all making a profit.
All of the owners.
Yes. Their big problem is like when they show you the paper and they lift it up and they're like, all right, see this here paper? We used to make this much money. Now we're only making this much money. We want to go back to making this much money.
But there are no owners that are losing money like in the NBA.
No. Okay. And you know what? They have too much money. They make too much money from their television contracts. And when they start missing preseason games, a lot of those ads are going to get canceled, and that's a lot of money. They're going to lose because, the NFL's different. It's one day a week. You make all your money on those Sundays. You don't space it out over the course of an 82-game season. You miss one game, you lose a lot of scratch.
The difference is the owners in the NFL will not want to sit out a season, so they'll make a deal.
Yeah, they'll make the – and I heard the deal's already done. Essentially they've already agreed on the financials, and they're just going to work out some of the smaller things. The only reason the players are putting up a stink right now and saying, no, hold on. They don't want to go to extended training camp. That's really what it is. They want to practice
less. It's really hot out right now. We'd rather not show. Well, we have Rich Eisen on the Kevin Bean Show tomorrow. He's coming in from the NFL Network, so I'm sure he'll have more to add to this story.
Much better information than I have.
That is at least encouraging news, though, because that would be too devastating to contemplate. No NFL season.
No, I think you're fine with the NFL, but I think the NBA is in real trouble.
Oh, that hurts.
And get used to hockey. You know, embrace the hockey.
All right.
Go Kings.
Go Kings. That's
go
what
Sharks.
I'm talking about.
Go all those places that you guys are on. All those hockey teams. Yeah, embrace the puck because that's what you're going to have come the fall.
All right, Money. Thank you very much for coming in, man. Always a pleasure to see you. Stay cool.
Anytime.
Thank you, man.
By the way, when you're making that list of, hey, how about another record, why don't you think about including the Postal Service, whose album came out in 2003, and we've been waiting for a follow-up ever since.
Just like the Postal Service, slow to deliver.
Yes! Thank you! Good night, everyone!
That's bold going into Would You Like to Take That Back?
I don't know what I'm doing in here because I can't imagine anything for me to take back.
That is an excellent point. It is time to play Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would, you could, you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would, you could, you take that back?
That is the most infuriatingly catchy theme song ever. We get complaints every time we do this feature from people who you just can't get that out of their heads. They just think about it all day, all week long.
We could have Mumford sing that.
We could.
Go get him. He's in the other room.
But the reason we started doing this is because we're doing 25 hours of live radio a week, and we screw up a lot, and we say a lot of things that, given the opportunity, maybe in retrospect, we perhaps would not have chosen those exact words.
Look,
and that's what this is all about. It's
do-overs. We want everything we say to be funny. It's not. It really isn't. So that's why we play.
Would you like to take that back?
My
My rule is that I will take everything back. I just that's my just bottom line
in life. Beans let alone
pretty,
the show.
Bean's pretty much the opposite.
Yes. He, no, I'm 50-50. He justifies
he's
everything.
He's a Grinch.
I'm 50-50.
You're look, not 50-50.
If I'm proud of something, I'm certainly not. Well, let's see how it goes with all today's right. session.
The first one is me.
What?
And it's during Ralph Showbiz, and he's talking about one of the actors from True Blood, which is one of my favorite shows.
Bad weekend for Stephen Moyer from True Blood. He was behind the wheel during the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race there in Long Beach for the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he crashed his car, rolled the vehicle.
This is the one who's dating Anna Paquin, right?
Yeah. I think they're married, aren't they?
Married, are they? Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't injured during the collision, amazingly.
Because she's a fairy. She can protect him.
File.
Really?
File.
Would you like to take that back?
Wow.
Yeah, I'll take that back. Yeah. That was lame. Sorry. Yeah. I apologize for
it's
that.
It's all kinds of weak.
It really was. It
wasn't even a pun or anything. It was just, it's like an odd sort of tag
really
up.
Nothing that's clever.
No,
is
really.
Is there a take back plus that I can instate here? All right, now Alex is doing showbiz because Ralph is out on vacation, and this one is also me.
What?
Jennifer Lopez just got some bad news this past weekend. So within days of wrapping her first season as an American
Idol. Wait, she's rapping now?
Judge, would you like to take that back?
Come on.
Would you like to take that back?
Wow. Yeah, but that's based in a long line of comedy that we do.
Uh-huh.
Like, we all do that joke.
Right.
Where you say a word and then we mistake it for something else.
Then why did that one sound so bad?
How come I can't play?
I don't know.
Would you like to take that back?
But I want to play every once in a while.
Well, fine.
All right, I'll take
what
it
do you
back.
Think? You're taking that one back? I wouldn't have, but I mean,
I know.
It's your
that's
choice.
My policy, though. I mean, my policy's pretty strong. It's pretty hardcore.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny.
I'm sure you did, and that's why I'd like to take it back. All right, the next one is Bean.
Uh-oh.
Ralph's doing the showbiz. He's talking about Tim Burton art.
He originally started as an artist and an animator. All of his art will be on display, as well as costumes. They're going to have set pieces. If you're a fan of Tim Burton's, you're not going to want to miss this retrospective that's being held at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, or LACMA.
I can't go to that because I'm LACMA intolerant.
File.
Come on. That was okay. Oh, keyboard cat.
Keyboard cat's playing you right off.
Would you like to take that back?
Hells no. Are you kidding me? LACMA intolerant?
Okay.
I love that.
First, let me just present the opposition, if you don't mind. First of all, no one laughed.
No.
Second of all, there were two groans.
Right?
Oh.
Isn't that an indicator?
Doesn't that tell you anything?
Would you like to take that back?
No, I think on the other side of the radio, outside of this room, they were dying.
You're basing that on what?
I believe that one went over big. I really
feel like LACMA and lactose or even close or rhyme or anything.
Would you like to take that back?
You can take a page out of my book, Bean, for God's sakes. You can take something back.
I'm standing by that one. Thank you very much.
I take most of the back, he said earlier this morning.
But I'm not taking that one back.
Would you like to take that back?
Sack of goo.
This is a tag team, Ralph and Bean.
Oh, great.
Take back.
We had a giant argument about machete or machete.
If Danny says
that's what I'm
machete.
Saying. I'm with Danny. You see the movie?
Yes.
I'm with him.
This
me
is machete.
Too.
Machete. 67 years old today. He's 67 years old.
Yeah.
And he could kill you by looking at you.
He's a badass mother.
Yeah, he really
Shut
is.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Trejo.
Put that in a file with extreme prejudice.
Is that possible?
Prejudice. Put it in the file with extreme prejudice.
That's where that works.
Yes.
Sweet.
Put that in the file while you're at it.
Would you like to take that back?
All right, I'd like to take back my slur every time I do it. I don't think it's possible, but I will take that back now to you guys.
This is the long Shaft reference.
That's the long tradition of the theme from Shaft comedy that we've been doing forever that still cracks me up every time.
It hasn't been funny in years, probably very few people got it. Know your audience. Come on.
But it is sort of one of those family traditions.
As was my first one about rapping.
Yeah, but it seemed funnier to me than yours.
I'll take it back if Ralph will take it back.
All right. If Bean will take it back, I'll take it back.
Having said that,
All right. For our next one, we have a rare in-studio guest.
On the phone?
With a take back. He's on the phone.
He's in studio, but he's on the phone.
He was in studio at the time, and his name is Brad Williams. Hi, Brad.
Hello, everyone.
Brad made a joke while in here, and we put him in the file. I mean,
yeah.
It happens. If we're comfortable with you, we might put you in the file and ask you to take it back. So here's Brad Williams, and he's doing some comedy about, I guess he married some people at a Kings game on the ice. And so
a fan actually sent me an email, said they were getting married,
okay.
And they wanted me to marry them
okay.
at a Kings game. So I went online. You can go to, like, I think it's universallifechurch.com.
I didn't know if they were still doing that. Bean and I were certified that way.
You're certified minister.
Yeah, all I remember is, like, we married Lightning and we were dressed as monks.
You've done a bunch of it. It was really weird. It's really weird.
So, yeah.
So you married, you were the preacher.
I was the minister.
Hey! You worked in mini.
We're going to have you on the phone next time.
All right. Would you like to take
that back? See, because Brad's a little person, so mini stir is what he was saying there.
Would you like to take that back? You guys are having dead silence after them. That got a reaction.
That's true.
It did.
That is true.
Would you like to take
that back? What do you think there, Brad?
You were not there that day.
I was not.
That's true.
What's your gut reaction?
I'm a pun fan.
Bean loves puns. He loves cheesy comedy.
And you do. I mean, I think that's a funny thing that you do that is unique to you. I say stand tall if you can.
Put that in a future file. All right, Brad.
If Bean says don't take it back, then obviously I'm going to take that one back.
Yeah. That's a good choice. Always go the opposite of Bean's advice.
How dare you? And I stood up for you, sir.
Thank you, Brad. You're the best.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks, Brad.
And finally, we have Mr. Gene Simmons on the phone.
Oh, you're kidding. Gene Simmons?
Star-studded this break. Hey, Gene.
Good morning. I've been listening to your shenanigans. This is nuts. What's going on? Why'd you wake me up?
Well, we're doing a feature we like to call...
Would you like to take that back?
And we had you on the phone recently, and you were talking to Lisa May, as you are wont to do, and here's what you said.
I amend things by passing around the proverbial peace pipe. Lisa May, speaking of peace pipes, I've got a peace pipe right here.
Come on. I'm not even sure. Are you happy with that one?
We'll run with it, see how it goes. And,
would you like to take that back?
You know, listening back to
would
it.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes, beef pipe. Are you settling for beef pipe? Do you want to take that back?
Are you good with that?
Well, I'd have to think long and hard about it. Lisa May's
New Preparation H Totables, discreet little tubes packed with big relief. They're the Anywhere Preparation H from the brand doctors recommend most by name among leading brands.
I need to put that on my ass right now.
Sometimes things happen on vacation.
Right.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:53.
I believe Lisa was just making a Butthole Week reference. I think that's what was going on.
That's true. Yeah, I agree.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the stars of an IFC show. Have you seen this this program that our guests are doing, the Commercial King show, Ralph?
I've seen some of their internet work. I haven't seen the new IFC show yet.
Very, very funny. Rhett and Link are going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, looks like Casey Anthony may, in fact, walk out of that courtroom on Thursday when she's sentenced, having time served for her four counts of lying to authorities. By the time it's all said and done.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And she may have a job waiting for her when she gets out.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Apparently, Vivid Entertainment, the porn company.
There it is.
has announced they are making a large offer to Casey to see if she'd like to get into the world of adult entertainment.
I hope she's using birth control, though.
The company's head honcho, Steve Hirsch, says whether you agree with the verdict or not, Casey will want to move forward with her life and has a right to make a living. It's not going to be easy for her, and we can believe we can help her make the transition into a new life of drugs and degradation.
Yeah.
You know, she could be like Amy Fisher, who is a pariah, who, you know, in her own admission on Celebrity Rehab says, I can't get work. Everybody hates me. The public doesn't want to be around me. Casey Anthony could find herself in the same situation whenever she gets out of prison.
I see a new line of porn films for Vivid, just the all criminal line. You just got Casey and Amy Fisher and, you know.
I like it.
Amanda Knox, why not?
Amanda Knox, yeah, definitely get Amanda Knox in there. Who's the old hermit, the crack whore that was the madam
Heidi Fleiss.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Throw her into the mix.
She's a hermit crack whore?
She is now a hermit crack whore, right. Yes. She lives,
raises
seriously.
Birds like, or something, right?
She lives in a trailer in Pahrump, Nevada.
Wow.
With a flock of exotic birds and wow. just a meth pipe. That's how she spends her days.
Wow.
She's like a crazy old prospector from the old movies that you find living in an abandoned mine shaft or something.
She so maybe, used to be hot at one point, didn't she?
Heidi? Yeah, even in her best days, she was attractive.
Sort of
yeah.
hot.
Yeah. Not so much anymore. Meth doesn't make you more attractive the more you use
That's
it, it turns
correct.
Out. It tends to have the opposite effect.
Somewhere out there, the devil is dancing tonight.
He sure is. He's probably dancing to a Duran Duran song. But sadly, their summer tour has been canceled. Duran Duran's summer tour of Europe has officially been canceled.
Wait,
everyone.
They had a summer tour?
How dare you, sir. Apparently, Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran damaged his voice during a performance at Cannes back in May, and he can no longer hit the high notes. So they have to scrap the entire tour. Oh, wow. It's just so sad.
Wow.
Weren't you looking forward to seeing the new Duran Duran show?
Not a bit.
No. While we're talking about music, Linkin Park is working up a secret show here in Los Angeles.
Fantastic.
The band is asking its fans to raise $500 each for a relief effort in Japan. You know, Japan's still a mess, by the way. I know it's not in the news anymore. That's the problem with the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
We all spend a lot of attention to a story or a disaster, and then we all get over pretty quickly and move on to the next thing. But they are still struggling there in Japan, and so Linkin Park's trying to raise money. Everyone who reaches $500 will get two tickets to the concert on August the 31st. The gig apparently is in a small venue, which won't be revealed until just the day before the show. But if you'd like more information, you can go to musicforrelief.org, and all the details are there. Now, $500 may sound a little steep for a pair of tickets, unless you're going to a Rolling Stones or a Cher concert.
Yeah.
But
they charge that just for profit.
They do, yes. Yeah. But this is for obviously for a good cause, so that's why they're trying to raise as much money as they can. So look into it. Again, it's musicforrelief.org if you're interested.
Have you guys heard the Linkin Park cover of the Adele "Rolling in the Deep" song?
No,
I haven't. They do a great, nice though. Job with that. We should let's have Omar pull some of that. I think you guys would really enjoy hearing some of that.
Good idea. I don't know. There's a strict no new music policy here on the Kevin Beach show. We really can't. Not allowed to break that rule, I don't believe. And Dina Lohan seems to think people want to see her dance on Dancing with the Stars.
Nope.
She was at her daughter Lindsay's 25th birthday party over the weekend, and apparently some folks overheard her talking to friends saying that she is actually in talks with producers to compete on that hit show, and she desperately, desperately wants to do it.
She desperately, desperately just needs fame.
Yeah.
She really,
right.
really...
She understands she's only famous because her daughter is famous. She hasn't done anything, right? She gets that.
Yeah.
Doesn't she?
I don't know. Believe she does. New Adam Sandler movie's been announced. It's going to be animated. It'll be called Hotel Transylvania, and Sandler apparently will be the voice of Dracula in the upcoming comedy.
Yeah. No.
Kevin James as Frankenstein.
There you go.
Fran Drescher as the Bride of Frankenstein.
There you go. They've
David got... Spade as Quasimodo.
They've got them all.
They really have them all.
Wow.
Rob Schneider's hanging from his shower curtain rod right now, I can guarantee you. He cannot believe he didn't get the phone call for this project. They're all in there.
Sandler did that animated movie about
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah season, remember?
Yeah, for his song. Sure, yeah.
And very, very popular. I think he made a lot of money off of that thing, so maybe he'll hit again with a Halloween-themed film.
Yeah, maybe. I will not be paying so much attention.
You will be told about that, maybe?
That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthday is Ned Beatty is 74 years
old. Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
What happened?
Anyone?
What just happened?
I have no idea.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
It's Ned I don't from South get the Park. Come on, connect. People. No one watches South Park.
Wow.
Wow.
But it was from really? South Park. His name is Ned. He's from South Park.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
You can't file me this soon after the file.
That was like a... Like get hit in the face unexpectedly. You know, you're playing softball
with
or something.
Right, I know.
And you get hit in the nose
the
by softball.
The best comedy comes out of nowhere.
Takes a bad bounce.
Mrs. Cartman, how are you today?
I'm dizzy and I'm a little nauseous.
From laughter.
I'm like shell-shocked
It was
bit.
Too funny? Is that what you're saying?
Wow.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman, how are you today?
Stop playing it over and over.
It doesn't make it funnier.
Would you like to take that back?
Do I have to wait for the next file?
Wow.
Like to take that.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
No one else saw the Ned from South Park? Every time you say Ned. How many people do you know that are named Ned?
I know Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. Maybe I think of that first.
If I had played him, would you have laughed?
No, it just doesn't make any sense.
That's all I could think of when you said Ned.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today? Well,
here's a little something. You don't necessarily have to play something. You can choose not to.
Well, sorry. I apologize.
Burt Ward of TV's Batman is 66. You have a Burt Reynolds drop over there? Can I just throw in?
If I did, I would.
Sylvester Stallone is 65. Sylvester's the cat? Anyone with Tweety? Got anything?
How dare you.
U.S. President George W. Bush is 65 years old today. George Lopez? Nothing? Jeffrey Rush is 60 years old today. How about the band Rush? 50 Cent is 35.
I'm busy now. You can't be hounding the pimp.
There's 50 Cent. Actually him. He's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
Thanks for listening to the Kevin Beach Show on a Wednesday. By the way, looking ahead, our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will be here tomorrow. Rage Against the Machine will be here on Friday talking about their upcoming L.A. Rising show. So that's all good stuff here on the calendar. Adam Carolla's got a lot of dates upcoming, including venturing out into the Inland Empire tomorrow night at the San Manuel Indian Casino. Upcoming shows in Palm Springs, Las Vegas, Thousand Oaks, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com. And the Ace Man joins us on the phone right now. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, get it on.
What's this new TV show I've caught tidbits of here and there? Some new show that is not Top Gear, but is still you and cars. What are you doing?
It's just a car show for the Speed Channel, and just a bunch of guys driving cars, you know.
All right.
You know how to sell it.
Sounds
different and like something you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. It'll be a good car show.
Hey, take it easy with your sale, man. We're already going to watch it. You don't have to beat us over the head with it.
Oh, you're going to dig it.
Well, you've given us plenty of reasons to. Adam joins us every Wednesday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, working my way down to number one. I was in New York a couple of weeks ago, and I got picked up at the airport. Actually, I was with a group, about four people. The guy picked us up in the Cadillac, and he was driving us from JFK into the city, and about halfway there, maybe in Jamaica, Queens, he decided he wanted to stop off at a 7-Eleven and take a leak. And this is unusual behavior.
That is weird.
But, and also, we did that weird morbid math where you're sitting in the car, and once you get to minute 11, everyone turns to each other and goes, he's taking a crap, right? And then you have to have a big debate. Oh, yeah, he's definitely dumped. Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, what's it been?
Once you get into a certain amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, once you pass the 11-minute and 21-second point, he's definitely in Dumpsville. And then someone will offer an excuse. Well, maybe there was someone in front of him at the urinal. No. He's squarely in Dumpville. He entered that minute 9. And you have to get in this big discussion. I don't know why we need to figure this out, but it is that discussion. But then the guy had the crazy accent, right?
Okay.
So I realized that crazy accent is sort of your license to do anything because you have four people who have paid you to take you from the airport to the hotel. You're stopping off in Queens to take a dump, and there's nothing we can say because he pulls off and goes, yes, I go in. It's good. You like. You know? And, you know, we come in, and then he comes out again. Yes, I finish. And you're like, what was that? Yes, it's good. It's good. You know, and next thing you know, you're driving to the airport. No one's going to say anything. Like, no one will go, excuse me, sir. It's not good. I wish you'd explain yourself.
Right.
You just sit there. And then I realized these guys can do anything because you can't really say to them, hey, listen, what's your supervisor's name? Because you're going to get answered with, yes, you like, it's good. It's and then I thought, wouldn't it be great? I'm sure they have no accent. I'm sure they go home and speak to their wife in a, you know, Brooklyn dialect. But I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if we had this at our disposal? Like, your wife would come into the bedroom and go, all you do is watch TV all day. You completely tune out your family. You're not intimate anymore. Yes, you like. It is good. It's good. No, you don't get it. Your kids resent you. Yes, they resent. It's good. They like.
Yeah.
It's good.
We don't have that level of defense ourselves. You're right.
No, she could walk in. You could be nuts deep in one of her girlfriends. What the hell? Yes, you like. You like is good. No, I don't like. Yes, you join. You join now. It's good. We like. Yes. You like it. Something to eat. Yes, you enjoy. It's good.
I'm going to start using that. That's excellent advice, Adam.
It's great, right?
Sure.
I know they use it like a crutch, too. Speaking of New York, had a little trouble in the subway there where it's like trying to get through the subway. And then there's the guy in the booth with the 3 inches of Lexan and between him and you. And then it's like, go back, go get change, go to the change machine. Can we get change from you? No, you get the change. And I realized that big chunk of bulletproof glass that everyone is hiding in now has turned almost everyone into a-holes. How long would it, just think how you act with an animal, like where there's a grizzly bear, but you're at the zoo. And you got that Lexan there. You're putting your ass cheeks up against that thing, right?
What do you think? You can't do anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, think about that mentality. Now put people there.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Now, minus the Lexan, how are you acting? Hello, Mr. Bear. Have you lost weight? You're looking
different.
Good today. What can I do you for?
Yeah, I've got change, of course.
Right. Why is everyone who works in one of those bulletproof booths at the gas station or the subway an a-hole? Answer, you can't punch them.
They're safe,
That's
yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
We need to get rid of that thing. So a guy gets shot every once in a while. Big whoop.
Well, it probably is a big whoop to that guy.
Maybe, but he's dead. How's he going to know how big the whoop
That's
is?
That's a good point.
It could be a medium-sized whoop.
I didn't think of that. You're right.
All right. And lastly, my kid. Oh, dear God, what are we creating here? It's been warm. We've been trying to get out into the swimming pool. He announced about 5:45 in the evening he wanted to go in the swimming pool the other day. I said, all right, get your trunks on. I'll take you into the swimming pool. He said, not without my sunscreen, I'm not going out there. I said, you don't understand, boy. The sun is on the other side of the house. It has cast a shadow upon the pool. There is no light on that side of the house. It's all in the shade. And he said, I'm still going to need some sunscreen.
Wow.
I said, you don't need sunscreen. We're going to start putting it in toothpaste eventually and suppositories so they can, you know. But what about your liver? Is your child's liver protected from the sun's harmful rays? So I was like, you don't. Listen, Sonny, we're going in the pool. You don't need sunscreen. There's no sun on the pool. It's all one big shadow. The house is blocking the sun. I need my son. I said, you got. Just go get in the pool, would you? So I said, look, I'm going upstairs. I'm getting my trunks on. I come down. We get in the pool. I come down with my trunks. He's halfway into ratting me out to the nanny. He's trying to send me. He's like, that maniac's trying to send me out there without Pava on. What the hell? He's like yelling at my nanny. You should fire him. You should get rid of him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the kid has to understand he's not on the moon and he's being sent out with no air to breathe, right?
Oh, my God, what we have created. The other day, when I explained to him he needed to do something, he explained to me I wasn't the boss. And then I said, I am the boss. I'm the boss of everything in this house. And he said, you're not the boss of what's in me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is what we teach them. This is what I pay them to learn at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
awesome.
A wise man once said, in 50 years, we'll all be chicks. And I think the sunscreen story, I think that illustrates that it's gotten here far faster than even you thought it would, Adam.
By the way, and while we're talking about that, means Adam does not wear the pants in the house.
No, I think Sonny is running things. I think that's what's happening.
Sonny might be your nanny is. One or the other.
Lucky if they were capris.
All right. You can check out all of the live shows with Adam Carolla, including San Bernardino tomorrow night, and, of course, the fine family of Adam Carolla Podcast, the most downloaded podcast in the world, all available for you at adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, thanks for coming on. We'll talk
to
you soon.
Guys.
Oh, I'm so jealous right now. I'm so jealous right now. Rhett and Link are in from Commercial Kings. I'm not jealous because they have a big smash television show on IFC where they make wacky local commercials for people and they're funny. I'm not jealous. I'm jealous that there's a dude named Link and it's not me.
His name is Link.
So sweet. Is it your real first name, Link, or is it a nickname?
I got it honest. My middle name is Lincoln.
Lincoln,
oh,
okay.
How about that? So you go by Link, which was a good call. Nothing wrong with Red. I don't want to be impressed with
that. That's how I was taking it. I was taking
not
offense.
Not at all. I'm just saying,
His jaw was getting all tight. He was angry.
Yeah. If I had a way to be known as Link, I would be, though. So congratulations. Well done. Welcome to the show, guys. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
YouTube sensations, over 100 million views of your various videos. Let's give us a little background for folks who may not be familiar with what Rhett and Link are all about. You guys are actual childhood best friends, or is that a story your publicist made up to make us like you?
Well, it is on Wikipedia, but it also is true.
It is
okay.
True.
All right.
Okay. Now, did you have creative endeavors together? Are you little kids who, when you were, you know, 8, 10, 12, whatever it is, were making Super 8 movies like J.J. Abrams? Or how'd you get started with the love for entertainment?
Well, we did write a screenplay. It was autobiographical. It was called Gutless Wonders.
Okay, good.
But it never made it off the page, honestly.
How sad. And when did you stumble into commercials, and how did that become your ticket to fame and fortune?
Well, we started our YouTube channel back in 2006, you know, just making, we had lots of musical comedy videos, sketches, that kind of thing. And then we actually got approached by a company to do some stuff for their customers, small businesses in North Carolina. So we went over to High Point, North Carolina, and made a commercial for the Red House Furniture.
And we really wanted to channel, you know, just the vibe and the spirit of local commercials. So we just went in there knowing nothing, having no money, having nothing but a camera.
So you must have loved those local commercials. They must have caught your eye, you know, originally, and because you can't imagine how bad they are.
Oh, yeah. I remember as a kid, just like 9 years old, seeing a local ad for a car salesman dressed up like a chicken.
Right.
It's just like, all of a sudden, I want to buy a car, and I'm 9.
You know, the grandkids are like strapped to the hood of the car. Paw says, everybody says, you know, and I don't know if it's just in the South or if everybody refers to their grandfather as Paw in a commercial.
I've never heard of Paw, but I like Paw. All
right. Yeah.
But you still do occasionally see local commercials, low-budget commercials on some of the, you know, high-number cable channels. But it's not like it used to be back, you know, back in the day before cable was so huge, when there used to be fewer channels and it was more affordable back then. Lots of people had local commercials, and some of those are the ones that stick with you your whole life, right? I mean, I don't think very many people who grew up in much of this country can forget Cal Worthington with his commercials that he did for decades selling cars.
Is that the guy with the dog?
Yeah,
with
Spot.
His dog Spot, who was
my
never a dog.
Spot.
Right, exactly. But I mean, he sold, you know, he sold for decades. He sold so many cars because his commercials were so memorable. And a professional ad agency would probably come in and look at those spots and go, they're hokey, or they don't do what I want them to do. You know what I mean? Too many experts can kind of get in there and not have any idea what the hell they're doing, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when we go into a business, we are just going in, the two of us, a camera, and the business owner. So there is no ad agency to tell us that our idea won't work. Like for the Red House Furniture, one of the first commercials we ever made, we talked to these guys in there. We were like, we want an angle for your commercial. And they're like, well, we got a lot of black people and white people that shop here.
They said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said both black and white.
Yes.
Okay.
That came from them.
So then we turned that into a jingle. So it's at the
Red House, where black people and white people buy furniture.
I saw that one, by the way. And don't you have like a big black guy sitting on the couch? He's got a couple of white guys on either side of him, and he starts the commercial with, can't we all just get along?
Of course.
Is that the same? Of course, because that's how you want to sell furniture, bringing up the race riots.
Of course. And then he jumps on a couch and he says, look at this sofa. It's perfect for a black person or a white person.
All right. So what happened? So you made that commercial and you incorporated their ideas. They handed you gold with that black and white angle, by the way.
Now, did they know they were handing you gold? Probably not.
I don't think they. Like, we just started asking them questions about their business. Like, tell us about your business. You know, tell us about yourselves. And they just kind of started joking. They were just sort of brainstorming. And I don't think they realized that as soon as they said that, we were like, that's the angle.
Both of you went, that's gold.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But he had no idea. He was just throwing out information.
And then when we started shooting the commercial, you know, I remember Link kind of feeding the line to one of the guys in the commercial. And he was like, we put it on a cue card, you know, because that local commercial, the classic local commercial, eyes slightly off of
you do
you
have
know,
to be right, looking off camera.
Right. So it said, I'm black and I love the Red House. And we just said, we were rolling tape, so we didn't want him to read ahead of time. So we hold up the card. And we're going to get this if he only says it once.
Right.
So he starts reading it, and he says, I'm back, and I love the Red House.
And there's this awkward silence, and we're like, actually, it's I'm black, and I love the Red House.
There's an L in there.
And he's like, oh, I'm black, and I love the Red House.
And as soon as that happened, we knew we were, you know, It was happening. And you know, okay. We were onto something.
That's the thing about the process is just as fun as the final commercial. So watching our show is fun because you get to see how we arrived at these things.
Now those people have to occasionally think, hey, these guys are making fun of us.
Well, what we tell them is
or do they?
Well, what we say is, you're going to have to trust us because the most memorable local commercials are the ones that you look at and you're like, how did this happen?
Right.
Like, I mean, how did this end up being a commercial? Those are the jingles that are annoying that you can't forget, you can't get out of your head. And so we say, listen, we're going to ask you to take some risks. We're going to ask you to probably do some things in your commercial that you've never thought you would do.
Okay.
But in the end, people are going to love you. And that's exactly what happened with the Red House. I mean, they sell T-shirts that say Red House Furniture, where black people and white people buy furniture.
Oh,
and
that's
mugs.
Great.
And we actually, you know, we heard people from out here on the West Coast were calling and ordering couches from High Point, North Carolina, just to say, I have a couch that's perfect for a black person or a white person.
And I don't know what race that person was, but I don't think it mattered.
Exactly.
No, that's the beautiful thing. Now, can Asians shop there, boys? Don't get crazy.
Don't get crazy.
Well, at the end, we did say, actually, Johnny says, and Hispanic people, too.
Rhett and Lake are here from Commercial Kings. It airs Fridays at 10 on IFC. We have many more questions about the boys and about the show, but I have to ask. So that commercial got made, and it did go on television and ran for a long, long time, or is still running, or what? The black and white furniture commercial.
Well, actually, we released it on our YouTube channel, and before they had time to buy space locally on television, it went viral. So they were like, why pay money when it's going all across the world?
Wow, bad. How about
that? So they didn't show it locally. They just left it on YouTube?
It got so much local press. You know, they ended up running it on the news anyway.
As a news story.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
And so they ate it up.
That's
sweet.
That's unbelievable.
You know what's funny is that the IFC has some of the worst commercials I've ever seen in my life. The channel you're on.
Tell us about that.
I'm telling you. You know what they are.
They need to hire you to do some better commercials for their channel.
No, they're perfectly fine the way they are.
Rhett McLaughlin and Link Neal are here. They are the Commercial Kings on IFC. We'll return right after this on the Kevin Beach. Rhett and Link are here. They are the Commercial Kings, a new show Friday nights at 10 on IFC. I guess two episodes have aired already. You know, there are very few skills that I can think of, guys, that are more powerful in America than the ability to sell. If you can sell right now, you can make as much money as there is, right? I mean, that is what everybody's trying to do, is figuring out a way to get people to spend money on stuff.
Yeah, I think the problem is we give these commercials away for free.
Well, it might be a problem, yeah. I mean, you might eventually need to start making some money.
You may have to examine your business plan. Have you ever had a client come to you and say, hey, we're going to pay you to do this for an actual legitimate real-life TV commercial, or has it all been yucks like the ones we've been talking about?
Well, through our YouTube channel, we've had a lot of larger brands contact us, and that's how we've been making a living for like the past few years, is just brand integration through YouTube videos. So if that's Coke, McDonald's, some of the bigger names like that even. So
they would contact you and say, hey, we want you to add us into one of your commercials or whatever?
Yeah, well, they ask us to make more traditional commercials. You know, when we make the local commercials that have that local commercial flair that we've been talking about, that's what Commercial Kings is all about. That's always that mom and pop business.
Right. We haven't had any videotape.
But why wouldn't Coke or McDonald's or somebody realize that that's working for those little businesses?
I don't know. You know, the more opinions, the more layers of opinions there are, the more everything gets boiled down to be something that is conservative.
So they say, you guys have had 100 million views on YouTube, so we want you to change everything and do it differently.
Do it our way.
That's what they say.
Well, we do whatever it takes. We've done music videos and sketches and that kind of thing. And it was this, we love working directly with those local businesses. You know, we love working with...
Because of the people there.
We love working with anybody who's going to pay us, actually.
Of course. So,
but, you know, there's something about going into a small business that, you know, it's just this guy or this lady who has put all their time, their blood, sweat, and tears into this business. They got something they want to, a message they want to get out there, and we just say, hey, here's an idea. Roll with it.
And they don't know how to do it at all, so you guys are welcome.
Right. Like, a big corporation is not going to do what we did for a taxidermist, who we said, okay, you've got a 6-foot-tall black bear. We got to put it in your bed with your wife for your commercial.
Okay, good. And they're going to say no. But you did.
And then we just say, please. And he
and
says,
then they say, okay.
Okay.
But he also says, I'm not going to tell my wife about this. I don't know if she's going to cooperate with this. So we actually put his daughter in the bed. So
Let me ask you about a couple of the other ones that are featured on commercial.
Hold on.
It's creepy, right?
How old was his daughter?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Good question.
In her 20s.
Okay, I'm just saying. Okay. I don't know if like a 4-year-old is scarred for life.
No.
All right.
She's going to be very disappointed with every other man after that, I'll tell you that. Let me ask you about a couple other clients that you had in this season of Commercial Kings. I love the idea of make me a pro wrestler. This is what, a training facility that teaches people how to wrestle?
Yeah, that's right. It's in Chatsworth, and basically they make men's dreams come true if they want to be like the next Rock.
Well, it's pretty simple in the title. I mean, the website is makemeaprowrestler.com if you have any questions about what they do.
Figure that out.
Exactly.
So what? That seems fairly straightforward. It seems like all they have to do is get that title out there and people know what they're all about. What did you try to do with them with the spot that you made?
Well, we wanted to make the commercial seem like you were getting every semi-amateur wrestling move happen right on your face in 60 seconds.
All right.
So it's just, you know, I mean,
so you get hit with a chair and stuff, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. A tooth pops out.
Sweet.
An eye pops out. We went theatrical for this thing.
Well, yeah, we also learned that, you know, like, wrestling is very physical, but it's also, 90% acting. So actually in the show,
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
We go
I
to...
I think that's a given.
Oh, is that not out yet?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. We go to an acting school because we think we've got these people who are here in Hollywood. They're trying to make it. They've committed themselves to acting. They're like, have you guys ever thought of pro wrestling as a viable option for your acting career?
Yeah, we meet people in L.A. and it's just like, oh, I'm an actor. It's like, oh, so you're a half wrestler.
Interesting.
So we took the wrestlers into the acting school, and that's a great scene in the show of the wrestlers sort of, they actually come in there and we introduce them and they throw one of the guys through a table.
Sweet.
And all these actors sort of look at each other like, uh-oh,
we're in a lot of trouble right now.
But then by the end of the class, we have actors suplexing wrestlers.
Is that
that's
right?
Awesome. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Wow.
All right, let me ask you one more question. And we were talking off the air about some of the products that are maybe too personal to be discussed on television. Commercials that they advertise for products that you don't want to hear about. Have you had any experience with those, with delicate products that have to do with, say, vaginas or butts?
It's quite a pointed question.
Well, maybe in an indirect way. We actually made a commercial a couple years ago for a place called Butt Drugs.
Butt Drugs.
This is an actual pharmacy in Cordon, Indiana. It's actually a family name.
B-U-T-T.
Oh. Yeah.
That's their family name.
They've totally embraced it, so, you know, we just wrote a jingle.
Butt Drugs. Butt Drugs.
You say that a few times. And
that's it.
I love Butt Drugs.
And you'll want to shop nowhere else.
In the show, we made a commercial in Sacramento for a colonics spa.
Okay, now we're talking. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I was getting at. Okay.
That's right.
The traditional commercial director probably doesn't think in order to make a commercial for a place that does colonics, they would actually need to get colonics.
I actually didn't think that either for us.
You thought that you needed to go through the process to understand it or to be a part of the
commercial? If I'm going to ask somebody out there
to put
this tube
right
in their rear end,
I think we understand how it works.
I think the least you want a demonstration?
No, I've seen it.
The least we could do is go through the process ourselves.
Okay.
And
I respect that.
That's part of the show, process.
Is there nothing these guys won't do for their art? How about that?
That's a tough one to sell, so we had to bring in a celebrity endorsement.
A celebrity endorsement?
Yeah, would it be a spoiler to tell us who you got?
Well, 80s love song master, Grammy award winning musician.
Can you guess?
Jack Wagner?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is.
You're going to have to watch later on
80s?
In the season.
Okay.
He was the General Hospital guy who had a big platinum hit called All I Need. I thought maybe he was the guy you're talking about. Huh? Phil Collins?
No, a little closer.
You wouldn't get Phil Collins to do that. You have to go down the list, don't you? I mean, you start with the people you really want, and then you talk to him about doing a colonic thing.
I think we got the perfect celebrity, and he received a colonic in the commercial.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. That sounds so awesome.
And he was in a public park.
I'm in.
And as much as I love Rick Astley, I can't wait to watch that. All right, Commercial Kings is the show. It's so much fun. Friday nights at 10 on IFC. Our guests have been Rhett and Lincoln. What's your website, guys, if folks want to check you out?
That's rhettandlink.com. And if you're out here on the West Coast, if you're out here on the West Coast, the HD feed, if you prefer to watch television in HD, my dad thinks it's too clear. But if you want to watch that in HD, it's at 10:30 on IFC.
There
10
you
and 10:30, so they play it right afterwards?
Yeah, SD at 10 and then 10:30 on the HD.
Red is spelled R-H-E-T-T, and Link is Link. You know how that
With
sounds.
A K.
With a K, yes.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I don't ordinarily convincingly can tell you to stick around for something coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, but Kevin was involved in an incident with the police on Monday.
Let's not exaggerate.
That involved these words coming out of a sheriff's mouth, drop it. So I think we're going to need to hear that story after the top of the hour here.
Firstly, he was holding his pants at the time.
So I did.
Yep.
Bent first, over. Though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Oh, it's one of my favorite times of all the Showbiz Beat. It's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff's
got a new gig.
What?
Hoff's got a new
gig. Someone hired him?
Yes, and you'll be surprised who. He will be guest starring in a arc, as they call them, in episodic television, on Sons of Anarchy.
What?
Sons of Anarchy.
This is bizarre. An acting job, not a job where he's just being David Hasselhoff?
This is not self-parody. This is not Hoff being Hoff.
What?
This is not Hoff eating a Hoffsicle.
What?
This is just Hoff acting.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
He does love to rock.
He's not rocking. He's acting.
He's going to be acting on Sons of Anarchy, which is a pretty gritty, realistic, straightforward drama.
Doesn't he take you out of that world once he comes on screen, being all David Hasselhoff-y?
Maybe. Or maybe he's perfect for the role of Dondo, a former porn star who has turned girl-on-girl porn film director.
Yeah! Huh?
Who could play a former cheesy porn star more convincingly than David Hasselhoff?
That's true. Yeah.
He's got the look, he's got the cheese, he's got the style.
Wow.
I hope this isn't a one-off. I hope they bring him back for more than just one episode. I'm just saying.
This is a mess.
I've got half a mind to watch that episode.
Okay, we get it.
I'm just saying.
Somewhere out there, the devil is dancing tonight.
He's working a lot lately. Not only is he the judge on Britain's Got Talent, but he was recently on a run on the soap opera The Young and the Restless as sort of a farewell because he got his start on that show. He came back and did that for a while, yeah.
Okay.
And then he's got Piranha 3DD coming up. He's in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hoff having a bit of a resurgence.
I saw a commercial last night that I did not stop on, but it flew by in a hurry, of some new show, Ralph, and maybe you talked about this, about people who have the same names as celebrities.
Yes.
And David Hasselhoff was in the promo for it, sitting with another ordinary American who's also named David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, that sounds like
and he's on that show, too. It sounds terrible.
What
yes.
a curse that name would be, too, wouldn't it?
But he is
That's
everywhere.
That's pretty unique.
Hass like comes along.
Jim Smith or something. You've got to be David Hasselhoff everywhere you go.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
I'm surprised there is another David Hasselhoff. Hasselhoff's a pretty unique name.
That is. That's weird.
Huh. Well, I'm just excited. Excited about Hoff being on Sons of Anarchy. Johnny Depp is in talks with Disney for yet a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean film.
No.
Oh, come on.
I think as many of those as they want to make, I'm fine with.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. According to the L.A. Times, he is very close to wrapping up contract talks to star in a fifth film for producer Jerry Bruckheimer. And despite its weaker gross, it only made $234 million. This is on Stranger Tides, the fourth one that just came out. It has grossed over $1 billion worldwide.
Wow.
So it certainly behooves them to put out another one until...
And his last one was over $1 billion, too. Yeah. I mean, it's a franchise that can't miss, I guess.
The law of diminishing returns makes it... not financially feasible anymore, but it seems like it's got at least a couple more films.
It'll be a while.
Yeah.
Has he done any other sequels, Ralph? He sure seems to be committed to this Jack Sparrow character, but it's not like, you know, they come to him and he's always doing sequels to his popular movies. I know he's resisted at least a couple come to mind that they've tried to do sequels of and he wouldn't do it.
Well, here's the thing. This is obviously his most popular film and franchise.
Right.
I can't imagine if you'd really want a sequel to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or. The Lonely Brave, or whatever that Indian film was that he made, so I'm not sure. But
Charlie takes his chocolate factory back.
Look, he does.
Doesn't make any sense, right?
Willy Wonka comes back and demands the factory.
Donnie Brasco in jail. You're right. There's not necessarily.
However, if he does, as apparently he's going to do, if he plays Tonto in The Lone Ranger, I'm sure that will be the beginning of a franchise as well. So, look, it makes perfect sense for a guy like him to be able to do these films, make a huge payday, keep his name in the top of the movie star echelon, and then go off and do independent films and all the other weirdness that he likes to do from time to time. So,
right.
It's a good business model for Johnny Depp. And who would ever thunk that we'd believe Nicolas Cage's son was the weird one?
What?
Have you been following the Weston Cage phenomenon at all?
No, but he's weirder than his dad.
Oh, yeah, he's out of his mind.
Oh.
Yeah, and today he has confirmed it. He made two major announcements this morning. First of all, he got into a big fight with his bodyguard, was it, Muggsy?
His personal trainer.
Had a huge brawl over that. The cops showed up, and they had to take him under a 5150 mental illness hold, and he apparently has a big alcohol and drinking problem. But today he made an announcement that he is filing for divorce from his wife and that she is pregnant with his child.
Oh, that's a nice one-two
punch.
Wait,
he announced those both at the same time?
Yes, he did. They've only been married since April.
Mm. They gave it a go.
Dude.
Now, they gave it a go.
Both of them were arrested for domestic violence this past weekend.
Wow.
This is after the arrest for getting into the fight with his trainer. And now he has announced he is getting divorced.
By the way, Kevin, you haven't seen Weston Cage, right? Am I lying, Ralph, if I say that he looks almost exactly like our crazy homeless street person, Duavid?
He has, he's very goth. He's got that long, dark, jet black dyed hair.
Dead in the eyes.
Yeah. Dead in the eyes, yeah. He's an odd duck, that Weston.
Wow.
He's going through even bigger problems. But he posted it on Facebook. That's how we all found out that his wife's pregnant and he's leaving her.
Wow.
Did Nicolas Cage have a comment?
I'm sorry, my son's going through such a hard time,
he said. Much like Thurston Howell III.
Was he in the Hamptons?
He was in the Hamptons. All the yachts.
And Mel Gibson also trying to revive his career. His latest film, The Beaver, although did get some favorable reviews, did not do well at the box office.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
So he is trying to bolster his career by bringing back one of his old characters, while we're talking about sequels. Mad Max. Mel Gibson is Mad Max yet again for a fourth time. Now, originally the idea was to reboot the Mad Max franchise with a younger actor taking over the role, but Mel has been campaigning to bring back the original Mad Max, get his life and career back on track with another hit, and he thinks this is the perfect opportunity, so we may see Mad Max yet again. Here's the thing, that's the kind of role and the kind of film where you could have an older hero in that position and it would still play. You know what I mean? It's not like Indiana Jones where you look at Harrison Ford at 65
and
that's a little hard to buy. In this post-apocalyptic world that Mad Max takes place in, it's mostly cars and guns and that kind of stuff. I mean, he could pull it off.
Plus, he's crazy.
Plus, he's crazy. We know that.
He can play that well.
Even Madder Max, they could call him. I think we'd all buy into it.
Thank you, Mel.
Is that Ned?
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
No, that was Mel Gibson.
I wonder where Ned was. I miss him. Speaking of Ned, actor Ned Beatty celebrates his 74th birthday today as we look at celebrity birthdays. TV's Robin from the Batman TV series, Burt Ward, celebrates his 66th birthday. And while we're talking about Adam West, TV's Batman, there has been a rumor going around this week, largely fostered on Twitter, that Adam West is doing a cameo in the next Christopher Nolan Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
There have been sightings of him in some pub in England near where they're shooting. Everyone's convinced that Adam West is doing a cameo in this film. Let me put that to rest right now and say he's not doing a cameo in this
You've
film.
Talked to him about this.
I have
conversed in some way.
I have
found out
sources,
through sources.
Yes, okay. That are impeccable that tell me that is not going to happen.
All right.
That's a shame because that would be a fantastic nod to the great Adam West TV's Batman.
I think it would take you out of the movie.
And I think whatever role they would put him in that film would seem
gimmicky,
strange. You know, it's not like Leonard Nimoy coming back and playing Spock in the new Star Trek because he's playing that character that he's a sort of established. And, you know, Adam West isn't going to be Batman, obviously, in the Batman movie. And it would seem gimmicky, I think, and a little beneath him. So anyway, it's not happening. He's not in England. That is not going to happen.
So you don't want him to work is what's happening.
I do want him to
work.
You think his best work is behind him.
I think they should fire Christian Bale and put him in the
crazy
suit. That's what I'm saying. That, if you want to make a movie, that's the movie. Dark Knight Rises? That's the Dark Knight that rises, mother effer!
Hello, Mrs. Cartman. How are you today?
We have Ned play Robin. That's what I would like.
Yeah, you might get it. He doesn't get it.
I get it. Burt Ward, TV's Robin, 66. Sylvester Stallone is 65 years old today. George W. Bush, also 65. Jeffrey Rush, very talented actor, is 60 years old. We were just talking about the Pirates of the Caribbean films. 50 Cent is 35. And L.A. Lakers forward Paul Gasol is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So what'd you do?
Dude, here's the thing. Everybody likes...
All I know is after the 4th of July, every year, we have an office pool. How many fingers or toes is Kevin going to lose? All right, if not him, how about his kids?
I
if
like
not
to them, play.
How about his wife? How about his friends? And it's a miracle that somebody hasn't died, because every year, you and Omar get together, allegedly, and go bigger and better with the fireworks, allegedly.
And by fireworks, you mean sparklers. Like, I enjoy a good sparkler.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, okay. You light those, and they got a little light on them, and you go, woo! Swing them around in the dark. That's what I enjoy doing.
So we have a little party, usually on the 4th of July, and we're in Santa Monica, and we got the little party going, little fireworks, you know, little sparklers, couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It turns out the police don't like fireworks much if they're not on a barge or official. It turns out official's important to them. So,
yeah, because you don't have the safe and sane fireworks that you can buy legally.
I have the opposite.
You've got the imports.
Unsafe and insane.
Yes.
Yeah. But they're good. They're strong. So I like
Kevin doesn't buy a firework unless it comes from Mexico or someplace worse.
And by worse, you mean better.
Of course.
So I like to entertain, you know, the party.
Oh, yeah. You do it for everyone
with
else.
You're
a liar.
All right. I like fire and I like explosions.
Yes.
That's the truth of it. So it's 4th of July. And every year we go through the same thing, which is we start lighting them off, then somebody says, the police are here. Uh-huh. And that means they're at the top, you know, they're at the door, they're knocking on the door.
We're like at a beach house, right?
We had a call, yeah.
Yeah, right.
We had a call from a neighbor, you guys are shooting off some fireworks, and then we, you know, everybody goes into action, we hide everything, and then I go up, and we talk to them, we go, that's not us, what are you talking, we deny it.
You bury everything in the sand?
Is pretty much, yeah. We have places for everything.
Make a map
so
you can find it later.
Some of it's behind a fence, and some of it's literally buried in the sand, because they're sparklers, how hard are they to hide? So, this time, we were just getting started, and we heard, the police are here. So, we all, by now, it's a fine-tuned machine, we all know what our role is. So we start grabbing stuff and running, and I hear somebody shout, "Hold it!" And I'm just thinking, like, that's weird, because we have to get this stuff hidden so I can go up and deny it to the cop.
Right.
And then I hear, "Drop it!" And I turn around, and it's a policeman with a gun on the beach with a flashlight in my eyes.
Oh, my God.
They're on the beach already. What happened to the whole
waiting at the
dance?
Door for you to get up there?
What about the dance we do every year where I hide them and then I go up and say it's not me and they say fine?
Maybe they get tired of you lying to them and you burying their fireworks and then they can't find them. So this year they decided to circumvent your BS.
So they're on the beach with like a surprise. They jumped us.
It was a raid was what it was.
It was a raid.
You got raided.
Let me make sure I understand your outrage here. So what's happened here is that the police have figured out a way to bust people who are doing illegal things, and that's what you're angry with?
Yeah, but how illegal is it on the 4th? I mean, it's a...
Still, as illegal as it is on the 5th, by
barely.
The way. No,
but
same
barely.
Amount. Same amount of illegal.
It's illegal to go 66 miles an hour, too. Right?
Look...
Is it illegal to go 66?
Yeah. Yeah. But the difference is, you're not going 66. You are buying a car from Mexico going 166.
Right.
That's the problem. That's the difference.
I will say this in Kevin's defense, though, and I swear to God, Kevin is going to kill somebody, and it's going to be sad.
Oh, how dare you?
It's going to be sad, and that's why they have these laws about these fireworks. But I will tell you that if you're going to arrest Kevin, you might as well arrest half the United States on the 4th of July for firing off illegal fireworks.
That's
my point. It is a law that is widely ignored on that day. Absolutely.
I'm very surprised to hear Bean point that out, but that is true. And by the way, in past years, when I go up to the door, they know it's me.
Uh-huh.
Literally, and they'll go, look, we got to make some rounds. We're going to be back in 10 or 15 minutes. Sure would be nice if it was done, if the neighbors or whoever's doing it was done by then. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a wink and a nod, and we're going to move, we'll go about our business.
Right. That's very cool of them.
Yeah, in past years. This year
did it pay off the right people? This year
wasn't quite the same, as they were waiting on the beach like Marines buried into the sand or something. I don't know where they came from. They were everywhere.
What happened?
So I had to put my hands up. And we dropped.
Were you holding fireworks at the time?
I was holding sparklers, sure,
sparklers.
A couple.
And we Roman were, candles.
And we were maybe trying to hide them and bury them. But the funny part now, looking back at it, is that they hiding in the sand or wherever they came from, rappelling down the house. They were watching from the beginning when we picked them up and ran. So it was just to them. It was ridiculous.
It was pathetic.
It was pathetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so,
of course, they just giving you a double tap. They're just taking you out like Bin Laden.
But we hadn't even
Seal
Team started.
Six had been back there.
We had some bigger sparklers that had were
yet
gonna
to be exploded.
They were going to be more impressive than the sparklers that we had lit off so far.
Right.
And they made us put a giant. They searched and made us put together a giant pile of sparklers. And then they called the fire department. And they liked me so much, they wrote me a little note that said, we'd like to get together with you again and spend some time.
Were you arrested?
I was not arrested.
Were you cited? Did you get a citation?
I am pleading the fifth.
Did you get a citation?
That. I got a little note that said we'd like to hang out with you more.
Would they like to hang out with you in a courtroom?
Maybe.
I see. You
with your attorney present?
You have to make an appearance?
Maybe that's... Oh. Maybe.
Would they like you to meet with a judge in the room?
Maybe that's the case.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
And I did hear the words, I've never seen this many sparklers before.
Right.
I did hear that come out of his mouth.
Well, I hope your defense on the 4th of July fireworks is, if I'm being accused of loving America too much, that I plead guilty.
I want you to be my lawyer.
I want you to represent me
in the place where I'm going to meet with these fine human beings.
What can they
who
do
did the right
if,
things?
If they, and they should, convict you, clearly, they've got all the evidence they need with eyewitnesses and evidence, but what will happen to you?
If an eyewitness, it was the actual cop that was the eyewitness.
That's hard to beat.
Like, they don't need to talk to anyone else because they were ambushing me.
I hope you threw your wife under the bus. I hope you said it's all her.
Oh, I tried. There's no way. There's no way.
That's what I'd do.
I'll let you know how that all turns out.
All right.
But I'm with Bean. If loving America is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Nancy Grace is going to have a field day with you.
So don't do drugs. That's what we're saying. Right?
Right. That's what we're saying.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 926.
Ralph Garman will be in a couple of minutes with the final showbiz beat for a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. By the way, I should mention, because we probably don't mention this often enough, we do have thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners from around the country and actually around the world who enjoy the Kevin and Bean podcast every day. But it occurs to me that even if you listen to us on the radio, you're on your way to work or something like that or getting ready in the morning, you miss a lot of the stuff that happens on the show. The podcast is always available for you at kevinandbean.com or through iTunes.
If you don't think we're funny, it's because you're not hearing the funny parts.
Right. We're hilarious right after you turn off the radio.
Or
we
before.
Couldn't be any
right.
funnier.
Yes.
Real quick, though, before we get into the showbiz beat, I want to mention again the poll that is up at kevinandbean.com. We spent quite a bit of time earlier talking about the Casey Anthony verdict yesterday. Now, for folks who haven't been paying attention, this is the young mother. She's been in jail for about 3 years since she was arrested after her little daughter disappeared. And she was on trial for murdering her little daughter. Well, she was acquitted yesterday. She found not guilty on all the felony counts.
What a shock.
It was a little bit of a surprise. Not that I don't think that it was the right decision from the jury, but that I was surprised because everyone knew she did it, including probably the members on the jury who had instructions to only vote based on the evidence presented in the courtroom. I bet you anything, when the jury start talking, they're going to say, look, we could only judge based on the evidence that the prosecution gave us. And Ralph, this is what you were saying off the air a minute ago, is you blame the prosecution for this. You think they're the ones who fell down on the job here, right?
Well, look, maybe they did the best they could with the evidence that they had. Maybe that's more the case than they fell down on the job. But the fact is, they really couldn't even prove murder, let alone who did the murder. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because of what they were calling the dry bones problem, which is when you find a body in so much after the fact, there is very little physical evidence to even indicate how she died, let alone who did it.
That was the problem, is that from the time the baby went, the 2-year-old went missing until the time her mom called the 911, she didn't even call 911.
It's a month already.
It was 31 days.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are going, your daughter's been gone for 31 days and you don't call 911. Really?
Look, obviously something's up there, but in terms of what you have to prove in a court of law, which is beyond a reasonable doubt.
I agree.
When they found the remains, they couldn't even say how she died. They said the duct tape was there in her mouth, nose, maybe it was asphyxiation. Could it have been drowning? They said, yeah, it could have been. They couldn't pinpoint that much.
But there was a lot of circumstantial evidence
that was
so damning, and that's why everybody, myself included, believe 100% that she killed her daughter. However, the prosecutor went after murder one, which is premeditated, and it's the most proof that you could possibly need, and it's the death penalty, and was unable to prove it.
Yeah,
that,
they overcharged her.
They overcharged her, right?
But having said that, the prosecutor wanted that. the prosecution did also give the jury the option of coming back with manslaughter or coming back with aggravated assault or convicting on murder one and not giving the death penalty. So it's not like it was you have to take everything or nothing. The jury did have a lot of different options to work with.
If you listen to the people who were there, you know how they always have the pundits, the people who watch every second of the court case, and then every day after the court case, which was on HLN, I think, Headline News.
Yeah.
Pretty much every minute of it was on the air. They're screaming at each other back and forth about what they proved, what they didn't prove. Almost all of them were completely just surprised and shocked and had
absolutely
no words. When but it was said not guilty.
But they're in the job of television. They're not in that courtroom. There's one thing to watch
I'm not saying they were right.
From the outside, other than being in that box and getting the instructions from the judge about how you're supposed to conduct yourself. Someone can seem as guilty as hell, but proving that is a very different task.
Proving what they set out to prove.
Right.
And that, I think, is what everybody pretty much claims the problem is. Had they set a lower bar, they could have gotten her for killing her own daughter, which everybody still believes she did.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They wouldn't have had that level of proof to reach, which they clearly didn't.
Yeah.
Well, we put up a post at KevinAndBean.com. It's twofold. Two reasons to go if you want to check it out. One is, in case you're wondering what the celebrities had to say about the verdict yesterday, because I care that Roseanne Barr thought it was a miscarriage of justice. I care that she tweeted that.
That kills me that anyone... Now, these are people tweeting or people that get asked?
These are people tweeting. These are people who offered their opinion.
Okay. She is Roseanne Barr, and someone has to pass the bar in order to become a lawyer. So I think she does have a legitimate claim on some legal...
Okay, but what about... What about Fred Savage, though, Ralph? Because he was on
it
the Wonder Years...
It was a Savage crime. We know that.
Oh, well.
Right?
So, he says it was a great day for people to kill their children, is what he had to say. Chad Lowe, by the way, whose opinion I was desperately looking for yesterday afternoon after the verdict came out. What does Rob Lowe's brother, I'm not really sure who he is, think about this?
I was going to ask who that is. All right.
Hillary Swank's ex.
Okay.
He used to be married.
So yeah. He tweeted...
Here's what he tweeted. I haven't really been following.
But, thanks, Chad.
But I wonder if the media would be paying as much attention if Kaylee Anthony had been a minority, is the angle that he's going with.
That's true. That's true.
I think the fact that she's a hot white chick for North Florida, a pretty hot white chick.
She's not a white chick.
Oh, you mean the mom?
No, Casey.
Okay. Sorry.
being offensive. I think that's why it got so much play.
Absolutely,
don't you, Ralph? Because she's an attractive white chick, right?
Look, unfortunately, there are on average about one child a day is killed in America by their parents.
By their parents? That's a shocking statistic.
And
how many kids does that set of parents have?
No, it's not the same parents.
Set. I wish it was.
I'm sorry.
And a ton of them, unfortunately, are minorities, African Americans, things like that. And these stories get no play whatsoever. But the fact that she was reasonably attractive and middle class and white made this story a lot more telegenic.
There are a lot of white kids that die as well that don't get any notice.
Not every state has cameras in their courtroom like Florida does either.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah. And the death penalty. Florida's serious about the death penalty. They had a sniper ready to take her out at the table.
So the red dot on her forehead while she was standing in front of the judge?
They were reading the verdict. They were ready.
So two reasons to go to KevinAndBean.com. One is you can see what your favorite celebrity had to say, because you can't live unless...
Chad Lowe has to say your favorite celebrity.
you can't live unless you find out what the millionaire matchmaker said about the verdict yesterday. And the other thing is you can be on the jury, and here's what the percentages are right now. Among Kevin and Bean listeners, okay, this is what they're saying. Had they been on the jury, they've seen the evidence, here's how they would have voted.
All right.
Guilty, murder one. 56%, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I believe that too, but I also believe, like Ralph says, that they didn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. I do believe it was murder one. But
guilty manslaughter, 16%.
Okay.
That would have been, you think, a lower burden of proof, a little easier to prove.
But they are our listeners.
All right.
Aggravated assault.
They understand these much better.
Aggravated assault, only 2%, which surprised me a little bit. Not guilty, 5%.
Yeah. People that didn't watch, okay.
And then coming up fast in the rear is option five, which is free OJ, which is now 21%.
That's my point. It's our listenership. That gets a larger percentage than guilty of manslaughter does in the case.
Exactly.
So take it for what it's worth.
Time for one final look at the showbiz beat. Ralph Garman in on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Linkin Park is nice.
Okay. That's a good report.
They're nice people. They're a good group of guys.
They are.
Is this breaking news? Or?
Yes. It's just in. Linkin Park is nice.
Yeah.
However, I heard there's a rapist there.
Nope.
And I heard
that's sad.
Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your husband.
That's Linkin Park. That's a housing
raping community. Everybody up in there.
It's a housing.
And by the way, what band has raised more money for charity than Linkin Park has in recent years? It seems like they're always doing stuff for other people.
Yeah, oddly enough, Kaja Goo Goo has that title.
I don't like that.
They're number one in terms of fundraising.
Double check that.
All right, I'll have to double check. But they're doing it again. They're raising more money for the relief effort in Japan. Still a bad situation there in Japan after that earthquake and tsunami. They're working up a secret show here in Los Angeles, and this is what you have to do to get in. The band is asking fans to raise $500 each for the relief effort in Japan. Now, everyone who reaches that goal will get a pair of tickets to their concert, which will be held on August the 31st. The gig will be at a small venue here in Los Angeles, which won't be revealed until just before the show. But if you are interested and you'd like to attend, you live in Southern California, you can go to musicforrelief.org. And there are all the details of how to get into the super secret Linkin Park show. But it's a very, very cool event, and I think it's they should be applauded for their generosity.
Hey, did our man Omar, was he able to cough up that Linkin Park song we were talking about earlier?
I don't believe he coughed it up.
I don't think he coughed it up.
If he did, I wouldn't want to use it.
It's not because, the process.
The things that he ingests, I can only imagine what would come up if he had coughed something up.
That's a good point.
But we do have a clip. This is from a music festival in England, and this is Linkin Park covering Adele's song, Rolling in the Deep, and they're just, they're a talented bunch of guys. Here's a take. We could have had it all, rolling in the deep. You have my heart inside of her, but you play with the beat. Come on. Those guys could have hit it with that song.
No kidding.
I always wonder,
too. That was in Britain when they did
it? Yeah, they did it in England. Yeah.
Huge. I always wonder how something like that happens. If everybody just is sitting around and that song comes on and they go, oh, this song's so good. Then the other guy says, oh, this song's good. Then somebody has to say, hey, let's do our own version of it. Because Linkin Park does not do cover songs. They're not famous for cover songs. They write all their own material. So
but
what
it
an
seems
oddball
like,
choice.
It does seem like everyone loves it when bands do that.
Yeah.
You'd love to hear your favorite band do a song like that.
Especially when it's a hit.
Yeah.
That you heard on the radio,
so
and
cool.
They cover it. It's really
working.
Cool.
We get that?
I saw that on YouTube.
YouTube, okay.
I think that's where you can find it. All so right. You can check that out. While we're talking about music news, the only guy I can think of that is as talented as Linkin Park, Rick Springfield, in the news today.
Wow.
Rick has pleaded not guilty on his drunken driving charge that he was hit with on May the 1st. He was not present at yesterday's hearing. But I thought it was interesting that they are taking the not guilty position, given the fact that he was pulled over on PCH in his classic 1963 Corvette, and he blew way over the .08
so he took
legal
the,
limit. He took the breathalyzer.
And failed.
Yes.
And they're pleading
him
not
saying
guilty.
Not guilty to this charge is like you saying not guilty to
how
possession of dangerous explosives and fireworks.
Sparklers.
Yeah. And this, I know we kid, but seriously, if you're going to drink, do not drive a classic 1963 Corvette. I've always said this. Get yourself a beater car. Get yourself something you don't mind racking up.
No, don't drive
But you don't want to drive a really nice classic car like the 63 Vette. You want to get yourself like some sort of, Ford Fiesta or something.
And Ralph means is don't drink and drive.
What I would do is I would strap spare tires around the outside of it. You make it sort of like a bumper car. This way you can hit people and walls and stuff and everything. You bounce off. And that's the way to stay safe when you've been drinking.
Don't drive.
Thanks.
At all. Anything.
If you plead not guilty, are you just hoping the cop won't show up? I mean, is that really your only way out at that point? Because you're going
down.
I don't
think this is like a ticket.
You've lost.
I don't think if the cop doesn't show up, it still doesn't matter. They've got the lab work from your breathalyzer and everything else that the prosecution still can present.
Well, there must be a reason, and I can't figure out what that would be to plead not guilty.
Yeah, I think you'd want to just work hard to plead this one down.
Nothing. You do no contest. Just get out and, maybe you can get a reduced sentence that way. But it doesn't seem like he's going to get off.
Ralph, you brought up Kevin's fireworks over the weekend.
Yes, yes, I did. His dangerous fireworks.
Let's talk less about that. And more about
I'm visualizing what the U.S. military had going into Afghanistan. I mean, in my mind, I am picturing just crate after crate after crate after crate of just M-80s. How about you?
I know that due to the enormous United States deficit that we're currently going under, Kevin was able to make a deal with the Pentagon and get some sort of decommissioned explosive materials from the Navy SEALs. That's where he got the majority of what he was going to blow up on the beach.
ICBMs.
Yeah,
that's true.
He had some Semtex. He had some Glignite. He had all kinds of plastic explosives. C4, I think. C4. He had a couple of bricks of C4 he was gonna set off.
No,
so.
Don't be ridiculous. That would be dangerous.
Yes, this it would. And we were talking about Casey Anthony just moments ago. I'm happy to see that, although I think she was guilty and is going to walk away scot-free from this
You're happy
heinous
about that?
Act that she committed. No, I'm happy that she will at least maybe get on with her life and make herself a, once again, valued member of society. Perhaps she will learn, change, and grow from this and be able to start again with a second chance. And it looks like my wish may be fulfilled because she is getting offered a career in porn movies from Vivid Entertainment. So maybe, look, there may be a silver lining to this whole dark cloud. I'm saying she may make herself a useful member of society if she starts having sex on video.
Wasn't part of her deal she wanted to be much more of a party girl?
Yes.
Like she wanted to go out, nightclub.
Well, that's what the prosecution said.
That's what they said part of her motivation was, that she was tired of being a mother and she wanted her single life back. She wanted to party and have sex and be a wanton slut.
3 days after her kid went missing, she did enter a hot body contest on the internet. That happened.
Yeah.
So maybe she's
there
willing.
There are photos of her drinking and karaokeing with friends and whatnot during
maybe
that
time.
Maybe
she's ready for that career.
Sometimes dreams do come true, and maybe this was hers.
Yeah.
So the head of Vivid Entertainment is offering her a contract. And so no word on how much he's willing to pony up, but...
Seems like there might be some ill will from people out there not wanting to see that.
Kevin, my friend, I wish that was how people made their decisions when it comes
I'd watch that. I'd want to see it.
There is a curiosity factor. I think that people... I mean, Amy Fisher has had a successful career in adult films.
Did the woman die?
Well, she's paralyzed. Okay, well, this is disfigured for the
2-year-old.
I get it, but...
Yeah, but the kid's not in the video.
Oh, Bean.
Violence is violence, and I'm surprised sometimes. Look, I agree with you, but I'm surprised sometimes how people, their curiosity overcomes any moral judgment they may have about
something. You got to learn how to compartmentalize, Kevin.
Which Bean has done completely.
Look, if people can watch the China video, the wrestler China, if they can manage to choke that down.
Who did she kill?
Nobody, but she's China.
I know.
She killed our eyes, Kevin. That's how she killed.
The difference between
celebrity
bad porn
and curiosity can overcome any sort of aversion you may have to the person personally.
Nah, yeah, not me.
Look, I'm speaking as a veteran of Jailhouse Babes 3.
That's
remember,
true. I forgot you were in that. Yes,
I got a long history of this this line
That's
of work.
Right. Today's celebrity birthday is Ned Beatty is 74 years old.
Hello, Mrs. Cartman, how are you today?
No.
Come on,
you come on.
You guys are with me.
Burt Ward, TV's Robin from the Batman TV series. He is 66 years old today. Sylvester Stallone is 65. President George W. Bush celebrates his 65th birthday. Jeffrey Rush, very talented actor from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, also from The King's Speech. He is 60. 50 Cent is 35 years old today. And Los Angeles Lakers forward Pau Gasol celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thursday morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to talk about sex dreams about celebrities.
Woo!
You've had sex dreams, and a lot of times, it seems odd, but a lot of times people go back to the same celebrity, not on purpose, but the same celebrity keeps coming up in their sex dreams.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Is the Pope really Catholic? Tweeting?
Oh.
Is that happening?
Yes, I follow the Pope.
He himself tweeting?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you do have to get with the times if you want to meet people, if you want to, you know, keep people current.
You're looking
church,
to date?
Right?
No. He's on Match.com as well.
Look, if I'm out there and I'm pushing my religion, I go to where the people are, and that's where the people are, is in the internet.
Can you imagine Bean pushing his religion?
I direct tweeted him my sins, and he tweeted me back my...
is that right?
My, what do they call it when they...
Hail Mary, sir?
Penance. Yeah, my penance, yeah. So I'm all
that would have been better had you...
If I had that word in my holster.
In the sign of the cross.
Don't start delivering things like I do. I got that cornered. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network in studio tomorrow. Tell us about the football season or not.
Hopefully.
And we also have from Rookie Blue, Missy Peregrine on the program.
How about that?
Love her. She was also in Reaper, one of my favorite shows, Reaper.
Yes, love that. Yeah.
Bean, did you watch Reaper?
I couldn't watch.
Also, Breakfast with Inky Miss tickets. We have your tickets for that tomorrow morning on All New Kevin.